Welcome to the closed session. To the closed session agenda for Thursday, May 4th. Could I have a roll call, please?
Director Tacker?
Here.
Vice President Fiché?
Here.
Director Cecenia?
Here.
Director Sennett?
Here.
President Schicker?
Here. Tonight on the closed session agenda, we have items. We have two agendas that are running concurrently. The first one was published on Monday, and the second one was published on Tuesday. So I just want to make sure that I read everything into the record. We're having item A is pending litigation. Item A is pending litigation, Government Code 54956.9A, formally initiated, LOCSD versus Golden State Water. Additional lawsuits in pending litigation are as listed on your agenda pursuant to 54956.9A, and there are 8 cases. Item B is anticipated litigation pursuant to Government Code 54956.9B, 1 case, significant exposure, facts and circumstances are unknown, 2 potential plaintiffs indicating significant exposure. And item C is real estate. The Board of Directors will meet in closed session to confer with Dan Blesky, its property negotiator, pursuant to the provisions of Government Code 54956.8, to give him instruction with regard to the sales, setting the sales price and terms for disposition of or sale of district property. And the parcel numbers are listed 074-229-017, 074-022-073, and 074-022-074. Parties with whom negotiations may occur are as of yet unknown.
President Schicker?
Yes,
Ms. Good on that. We need to clarify, because something has happened since the posting of the agenda, that parties with whom negotiations may occur include Mr. Jeff Edwards.
Is that for the real estate section?
Hmm?
For which section?
For real estate.
For real estate. So we're adding Mr. Jeff Edwards to the...
Just that he may be one of the parties.
Okay. Okay, opening it up to public comment, please. Would anyone like to speak?
Can you hear me now? Okay. De Dugan Los Osos. Okay, I just want to, I guess these are more like reminders on any of these cases, but especially the Measure B, if you do appeal it, to the lawyers. Do not let the judge lead you around the nose into areas that have nothing to do with the litigation. At the Measure B hearing, I heard a lot being said about the Regional Water Quality Control Board and whether or not these were stances that the CSD, well, areas that CSD stood on. In other words, he was speaking, I believe, our CSD lawyer was speaking in areas he shouldn't have been. And he probably should have told the judge, well, if you want to know what the CSD knows or believes, then you should ask one of them to get on the stand and under oath state it. But he didn't do that. He should have actually said this has nothing to do with Measure B and let it go at that. On the real estate, I don't care what the appraiser says. If they quote a price lower than what the CSD had paid for it in the first place, Tri-W, whatever, that's wrong. In fact, you should ask for a higher price than what you paid for it. I mean, that's just a rule of thumb. Buy low, sell high. And don't just think because of what's going on with the CSD or money-wise that you need to take what you can get. That's prime property out there. Anybody that buys it, they're going to hold on to it for a while and put what they can on there when time is right, and they're going to make millions and millions of dollars on whatever project they put out there. So, yeah, don't sell yourself short. That's all I got to say. Thanks.
Thanks, Mr. Dugan. Who else would like to speak? Ms. McPherson?
I don't have prepared comments. Good afternoon. This closed session is going to discuss some of the things that will affect our community for years to come. One of them has to do with the sale of the property at Tri-W. And I just wanted to mention that there's a lot of lawsuits that are pending before you. And as they are each sorted through and deliberated and finally settled, we know that you will do your best to settle those in a way that's best for the taxpayers, that will cost the least amount of money to the community, and not be a fight just for the sake of a fight. I'm terribly concerned that the efforts to dissolve the CSD has more to do with filing more and more and more tax by the taxpayer's watch, lawsuit after lawsuit, attack after attack. And I hope that there will be a way that we can inform the community that the results of these lawsuits are only costing the community, and they aren't saving any money. The state did enter into contract under false pretenses, and that's costing us a bundle. We know that, and to settle that will be in your efforts. I know that Tri-W is a key bone between the dogs fighting, and I think that it's important to remove that. Many people have said that they think that ought to be a park, and if this parcel is sold and a little part can be saved for that purpose, it would be nice to make that a peace park and bury our differences there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Peace park. I like that. Mr. Markison.
Am I on now?
Yes.
Ooh.
Richard Margetson. The first thing I want to talk about is the Barnard lawsuit. My concern there is Sam Blakesley's attempting to negotiate some type of compromise. He mentioned that at the regional board, and he said there were going to be parties that wouldn't be happy with the outcome. If part of that outcome is Barnard coming back into this community to restart their portion of the project, I think you're going to have some serious opposition, especially in light of the fact that they gave $10,000 to the No on Recall Committee and were the highest contractor to overbid the project. The breach of contract lawsuit with the State Revolving Fund, the second lawsuit under pending litigation. Can we get some official clarification from staff, maybe not today, but at some time in the future, of what the terms of that loan were? Because there's a letter to the editor in the paper today, and it describes, what the loss of the loan has cost the community in hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars over the years. And if you read it on its face, it actually makes sense. Except the initial premise, I believe, is actually wrong. When you're trying to calculate what something cost, I think you should have the correct number of years that the loan was going to be for. In the paper here, it says 30 years, and I believe the loan was for 20 years. So what the interest rate was and what some of the terms were. So maybe some of the misinformation out there from this person who is also supporting the dissolution, we could get corrected. I asked a question at the last meeting about, there's a statement around town that this board, since they've taken office, have spent $1.3 million on legal fees. Well, on the dissolution website this week, it now states $1.6 million, and that's $300,000 increase just since the last time you had closed session, and I commented on it. And then I'm going to use the rest of my time for the real estate question. Is the appraisal finished? And I think I know the answer to the next question. Has the appraised value been divulged other than to the board members? And I hope that Jeff Edwards does not end up with that property at any point down the road, for whatever reasons. Thank you.
Mrs. Biggs or Mr. Bleski?
I'm trying to think what you want me to respond to.
The first question was about the legal fees. Do you care to respond about that?
Oh,
the website.
I have no idea where they're getting those numbers, because certainly that's our fees are not running anywhere close to that kind of thing, unless the district is hiring other lawyers on top of ours. But no, certainly that those numbers have to be inaccurate. Not sure that they have any basis in reality. And what was the second question?
The next question was about the appraisal. Is it finished, and has the appraised value been reduced?
We're not going to make a comment on that at this point, because that is confidential.
Okay, same with the second part of the question.
Yeah.
Okay. Who else would like to speak during closed session on this?
Madam President, I can clarify a couple of the things. Speaker's correct. The article in the editorial in the paper this morning was stated 30 years. The SRF is for 20 years. The other thing is that there was an allusion that there was a $23 million owed to the contractors. That is a figure that is grossly inaccurate, and it's based upon why the contractors want to sue us, because they're not entitled under the contract that they signed and that they should honor. They're not entitled to any lost profits or any kind of impacts. And therefore, when we come down to the actual value of the work in place, that's all they get.
Thank you.
It's not $23
million. Thank you. That's good to hear. That's good to hear. Anybody else like to speak this evening? Okay. We're closing closed session. Public comment, and see you at 7 o'clock. Thank you. Welcome to the May 4th meeting of the CSD. Thank you, everybody, for coming this evening. It's so beautiful outside. Bet you're outside enjoying it. I'd rather be outside. All right. Do we have any additions or corrections to the agenda, Mr. Blesky?
Madam President, there's a couple items that we don't have prepared for the board for this evening, and I'd just like to go over those.
Okay, could you hold on for just a sec?
Yes.
Okay.
Just for the public's information, we did post a modification to the agenda to include some other reports. Unfortunately, we've had a change of that as well. Under the current agenda, we had the oral report on the annual audit and the mid-year budget. That still needs to go to committee. We weren't able to get to that, so we'd like to postpone that to the next meeting. The utility manager's been out ill. His report has not been finalized, and portions of the general report, which is 2C, have not been finalized, so this evening, just to clarify, under written administrative reports, we have the CDF report coming in. As far as the regular schedule, under consent, item 5 and item 6 have not been before committee, and we'll be taking those to committee at the next committee meeting. Let's see, do I have anything else? And that's all the recommended changes to the agenda I have this evening.
Thank you. Thank you. I forgot the roll call. Mrs. Vega, I'm sorry. Could you have a roll call?
Director Sennett?
Here.
Director Sasenia?
Here.
Vice President Fouché?
Here.
Director Tacker?
Here.
President Schicker?
Here. Also a report out of closed session. Mrs. Biggs?
Yes. Board met in closed session pursuant to the various provisions of the government code as set forth in the agenda. There was discussion with regard to the LOCSD versus the State Water Resources Control Board breach of contract case. Also with regard to the Barnard versus LOCSD case. And with regard to Merrill Small Claims Court case, and with regard to the Cap Cities case that was supplementally agendized. And there was no reportable action on any of those. There was also discussion with regard to the other remaining items, including the real estate issue, where we earlier added the fact that the statement at the end where it says parties with whom negotiations may occur include Mr. Jeff Edwards, and there was discussion with regard to that regarding price in terms of the various parcels listed there. There was no reportable action on any of these matters, however.
Thank you for that report. We're going to go on to the oral administrative reports at this time, and we'll start with Mr. Bleski.
Madam President, members of the board, I don't believe that we have any oral reports to present this evening for the board.
Would anyone from the board like to give an oral administrative report about their experiences at the Water Board and the CDO hearing or any other matter at this time? Director Tacker.
I had 2 minutes of public comment, and the big point that I was going to drive home my argument, I forgot. So I'm going to drive it home here now. On the screen, you'll see an overlay map of the Prohibition Zone over the census tracts here in Los Osos. And I'm going to have some copies of this on the table, but this is also available on the web on, take this website down, www.ccLosOsos.com. That's the Concerned Citizens of Los Osos website. Scroll all the way down towards the bottom. There's a list of PDFs, and this is there for those of you at home. If you wanted to take a look at this, I had this done a few years ago, where we took the 2000 census tracts, the tract maps, and it shows the median household income in your neighborhoods, and then we overlaid the Prohibition Zone over it just to show the inequity of the sewer project and how it affects each neighborhood economically. But what I wanted to drive home was, and just for a little summary of what I said there, is I'm on the school site council, both at the middle school and at Baywood Elementary School. And I'm the Title I liaison for Baywood Elementary. Baywood is a Title I elementary school, and that means it's funded. A great deal of money comes to the school because of the economic makeup of the school. And what I wanted to let you know is over one-third of the children that attend Baywood Elementary are on the free or reduced lunch program. And that's always been a concern for me, is that the children whose families cannot afford to provide lunch certainly would not have been able to afford the $205 that the downtown sewer project was going to cost. So I wanted to make that point. And for just for your statistics, just something to know, there are 360 children at Baywood Elementary enrolled. There are 380 children at Monarch Grove Elementary. And the combined children that are on the free and reduced lunch program is 261. So we're looking at well over a third of our kids receiving the free and reduced lunch. And that's something that I think is important to our community. It's important to our board in that we need to know the expense of the sewer project and its impacts to the families that do live here. So thank you for letting me drive that point home, because Mr. Young didn't give me that one more minute I would have needed to make that point. But again, go to the web at the cclososos.com and go ahead and take a look at this yourselves at home. And like I said, there'll be some copies here on the table. Thanks.
Thank you, Director Tacker. Just a little addition to that report. On Friday, past Friday, approximately 12-hour hearing was held for the cease and desist orders against 45 randomly selected individuals in town. Many of the people that are in this room tonight were at that hearing, many more. There were at least 250 people there. Many people left because they had to sit on the floor, and they couldn't find seating, and they couldn't see, and they couldn't hear. It was a pretty very busy day. And again, it was about a 12-hour hearing, and nothing was decided at that time. Some testimony was given. The Los Osos Community Services District was there as a designated party and was halfway through their case when the hearing adjourned at about 10 p.m. So, and the citizens were there, and the CDO defendants were there, and they were making some of their presentations and arguments, just beginning to cross-examine and examine some of the witnesses. So that's kind of where it's at. It's going to be continued next Thursday and Friday, May 11th and 12th. I encourage you to attend or write or go on the websites and read more about it. But there was it was a pretty intense day, and I don't know if anyone else would like to add anything. Anybody else at this time? We didn't get much time to speak. Us as directors, we were there willing to speak. We had our 2 minutes apiece, and we told the board what we were doing and how we were moving towards a holistic wastewater project, long and short term goals for Los Osos. So that's what I want to report. Director Sasania would like to add something as well.
I'd just like to say again how impressed I am with people in this community and their willingness to work. I saw some people really put together good defenses, and I was especially proud of the fact that we weren't intimidated. People stood up there, they asked their questions, they asked for answers. We like to clap our hands a little too much for most people, especially for the newspapers, I guess. But I thought, all in all, that we were a pretty well-behaved crowd. I would expect that most people in this county would get raucous if they're faced with a choice of $205 a month or pump your septic tank every other month. So I thought we behaved ourselves pretty well and made great points. And one thing that I did point out to Regional Board staff, Director Fouché and I met with them yesterday. I think that was part of our monthly meetings. The fact that they've hit 45 people with cease and desist orders has made those people want to prove they're not polluting, and they've opened up the whole prohibition zone question again in people's minds. And that may have been an unintended consequence, but that's what they did. And staff pretty well tacitly admitted that, it kind of looks like that. So, again, I'm really proud of our community.
Director Tacker, did you have something else to add?
A citizen pointed out that the Bay News came out and spoke advertising the continuation of the hearing, and they misdated. The addition of the Bay News puts the wrong dates in, so we wanted you to know that the CDO hearings will resume on Thursday and Friday, May 11th and 12th at 10 a.m. at the Regional Board Office, 895 Aero Vista Place in San Luis Obispo.
Mr. Loy?
Good evening, everyone. Bob Lloyd with AGP Video. I hope you guys can hear me okay. There was some comments about too basic. As far as the Regional Water Quality Control Board meeting is not broadcast live on Channel 20 or Channel 21. We do not have the capability of broadcasting it live. There was some confusion about that process. We are streaming it live on the Internet, and our Internet site is slowspan.org. That's slowspan.org. And there'll be webcast number 2. It will be identified as the regional board hearing for that date. Also, if you'd like to watch the previous board meeting that was held last Friday, it is also on the top of our page for SlowSpan, so you can watch it. Now, once you start the download and the process goes and downloads the meeting, you will be able to scrub to any point in the meeting once it is completely downloaded. As you are watching the screen at the bottom where you'd see the little button where you'd go and drag it across, you'll see a small green space that will slowly expand across the screen. Once it is all the way across, then you'll be able to take your cursor and move to anywhere in the meeting. It could take as long as 17 minutes on a 56K and as little as 12 minutes on a DSL or a cable modem. So you're not stuck watching the full 10 and one half hours worth of meeting on tape to be able to get to the point you want to see. So thank you very much.
Mr. Lloyd, I've had a question, and I see someone in the audience asking the same thing.
Yes.
Can you put the clock on the meetings so we can see what time, so we can register the times? So
are you able to do that? That's just something I'll have to talk to my office about. It's not the only place that we do the actual clock on the bottom of the screen here, over here, right there, is here in Los Osos because it was a request. It is not something we commonly put on a bottom lower third for our meetings, mainly due to the fact that some people assume that that is the current time, and they start calling us saying, your clock is off. So it happens. I've gotten many calls in regards to Los Osos meeting that this clock is off. So anyway, it is something I will bring up in the office, but it's not something we normally put on a bottom third.
Okay, or a counter, or some kind of counter or something, because we're looking for certain segments to clip, mm-hmm. and even a counter, it would be better than a clock, if a clock
right.
bothers people, something.
I will try. I will discuss it with my office.
Thank you.
That reflects committee's desire to change resolution that we're recommending now would be resolution to borrow from the water and solid wastewater funds to fund wastewater project activities. You should have that in your package, though.
Thank you. Okay. I wanted to add one other observation and description of the CDO hearings that took place on Friday, last Friday. And that was one of the main arguments that I would ask you all to think about and to consider that was used. I don't know if you know this about the Water Quality Control Board, but the way they hold these hearings is they divide up their staff that normally talks to each other and the board, but normally the staff and board talk to each other and work on cases, and they set up what our attorneys called a Chinese wall, which means all of a sudden when it's time to hear the cases, there's an administrative side and there's a prosecution side. And what our attorneys and what the citizens were bringing up or suggesting to the water board is that there is no way that you could be unbiased, that bias was impossible to ignore because these same folks who are dividing themselves and trying to be impartial and neutral and objective talk to each other every day. They adjourn to closed session and they go in and talk about lawsuits together. And then all of a sudden they're supposed to pretend that they don't know each other and they're objective and they're not. So there's an inherent bias in the situation. And for your information, you might want to go on the State Water Board website and take a look because they're addressing this. They're addressing this by appointing what they're calling an enforcement team out of the headquarters office to deal with complicated cases. And the reason they're doing this, one of the reasons they're doing this, is because they're having trouble all around the state with this inherent bias on the regional boards. And I just wanted you to know that that was one of the points that the district brought up to the board and suggested that that might not be the best way to get a fair hearing. So just wanted you to know that, too. Yes, Mr. Blesky, did you have something to add? Oh, Mrs. Biggs, did you have something to add?
No, I was just making sure you didn't go into litigation strategy.
Nope.
But you didn't, so
nope.
I don't have anything
just telling to say. You, just telling you what occurred last Friday. Yes, Mr. Lloyd?
Yes, I'm sorry. One of the members of the audience brought to my attention. It will be rebroadcast on Channel 20 and 21. As far as when it airs, and depending on the length of the meeting, with this current meeting being 10 hours and 10 and a half hours, it pretty much took up, you know, everything that we could show on the channel. So I am trying to put in the LOCAC campaign debates. I'm trying to put in the District 2 campaign debates, the Piranha installation and meeting portion that was on April 13th. So just to let you know, it will be rebroadcast on 21 and 20 as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for doing that, too. That's a long day. Any other oral reports in general of nature? Okay. Chief Fineris, you're next on written administrative reports.
Good evening, Madam President, members of the board. And Chief Jenkins.
Thank you.
We continued with the training down on the Second Street property in March. Had some very good training drills down there with some of our cooperating agencies, Morro Bay Fire Department, as well as several of my other fire department, or excuse me, my other fire stations from the Morro Toro area and from the Cayucas area. We conducted a drill, a training drill for the San Luis County Technical Rescue Team. The San Luis County Technical Rescue Team is a 19-person team that I supervise as one of my other duties, consisting of numerous CDF County fire folks, as well as people from San Luis Obispo Fire Department, Morro Bay Fire Department, Paso Robles. And in this drill, we worked on rescuing large animals, horses and cattle and stuff like that. Hosted it here because we've got a large population. There are some technical rescue team members out of your fire station at Station 15, and we wanted to bring that to the local area. So you may have seen in the Bay News a picture of a horse being carried by a helicopter, and that was our drill. Continuing, we continued to work on the open house, which was a really good show. I appreciate the support that the members of the board provided for us, as well as the Emergency Services Committee and the CERT team. We estimate about 200 people, including 75 to 100 kids, went through there. It was a good day. I'll have more to report on that in my next monthly report. We continued working on the firefighter assistance grants, closed out the SCBA, and continued to purchase equipment and receive equipment for the trench rescue grant. In special projects, Bill Kirshner, one of your longtime fire captains, was awarded the Firefighter of the Year by the King David's Lodge number 209 in San Luis Obispo. That was also reported in the Bay News, and it was a good honor for Bill. He's worked very hard, and he's been a good servant for the community. We loaned from the South Bay Fire Department a radio that is no longer being used and has been in storage since we showed up in October of 2004. To San Luis County Fire Department. The theory behind this is they needed a radio, and they have a very expensive, to run at least, a live fire simulator. And so in reciprocation, we'll bring that live fire training out here to Los Osos or to the Sterile Bay area and be able to send our firefighters into that training for free. So that was item 7 as you look through there. When they're through with that radio, it will be returned to us. We continued with the hazard abatement program. As you remember, the hazard abatement program is based on the Los Osos CSD fire code, which is written in 2001. The South Bay Fire Department did a very good job of enforcing that program prior to CDF's arrival. When CDF showed up, one of our tasks was to fully implement the program. So we have expanded the program to include all structures as well as unimproved properties. To meet that, we've sent out some notices in both the water bill, and we're trying to get into the Cub Bear Pride. This notice talks about what we need to do to do our hazard abatement programs. It's not going to immediately set that brush on fire and to thin them out so we don't have a continuous brush patch. The other thing to do is to mow the lawn, mow the grass. It's still growing right now. We understand that. But our goal is when that grass is dead or cured to be able to walk through and see our boots. If we can walk through and see our feet, then we have a very good chance of stopping that fire before it gets to the houses. And that's really our goal, is to protect the homes from an approaching wildfire as well as the vegetation from a structure fire that sends sparks out into the vegetation. So if you don't have one of these, they're available at the front desk here. You can stop by our fire station or by the CSD office as well. I have a couple other handouts here that will be taken down to the CSD office, and they're at the fire station as well. One is a homeowner's checklist. This works on a lot of good angles for both inside and outside the home. Several pages, and it just gives you some things to think about. I have the Living with Fire document here as well, a multi-page document. It's very, very good. Focuses more on the chaparral and living in the wildland, which a good chunk of Los Osos Community Services District is. CDF has labeled the upper portions, basically the south side of the district from Los Osos Valley Road south, as what we consider a medium wildland fire hazard severity zone. So it's not as foggy and as cold as we think. The one thing I'd like to stress as we start to do this hazard abatement is also to stand outside on your street and look at your addresses. And we're starting to find that as we drive up to homes, the addresses are obscured by vegetation, or you bought the house 10 years ago, you put an address up on your fence or your house, the sun's deteriorated, the nails have rusted off, and now you used to live at 635, now you live at 5. So we strongly encourage you to post your addresses. The last thing I wanted to talk about is the CERT training. As we said before, we had a very good CERT class. As we look forward on what we want to do with those folks we've just trained and how we want to develop that program, we're going to be hosting a meeting. I don't have an exact location of that yet, but that meeting will be Saturday, June 3rd at 10 a.m. We anticipate that this meeting on Saturday, June 3rd at 10 a.m., we're being repetitive here for a reason, it'll be about an hour or two length. If you'd like to show up, please RSVP. You can either call the fire station or you can email the leader of our CERT at South Bay CERT, South Bay CERT, one word, and CERT is spelled C-E-R-T, and this is at charter.net. We anticipate this meeting talking about what role CERT can play in Los Osos, where our volunteer base is, and how we can better help them serve us, how we'd like to organize those CERT teams, who will guide that process, what training is needed to bring those CERT folks up to speed, and what events we can plan in the future. And probably pretty appropriate, yesterday afternoon, I believe it was, with the earthquake in Tonga, the coast was put into a tidal or tsunami advisory. When we do these things in the emergency world, we have advisories, watches, and warnings. This is the lowest level, and it's purely precautionary. But in fact, if something had occurred, I, as the local battalion,
time everybody. It was and I loved it out in front of Vons because people just
instead of at
the fire department, because people stopped by and it attracted a lot of attention. I don't know how many. Did you do a count?
We had approximately 60 waivers for the fire safety house, and so based on that, with parents and siblings and other folks who didn't go through that, we estimate about 100 kids and probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 people total. Just as an estimate.
And, it was nice.
And following up with Freddie, I believe if you had not been in line with the young children, Freddie wouldn't have escorted you.
Thanks very much. All righty. What's next there, Mr. Blesky? No other oral reports, no other written reports. Is that correct?
That's correct, ma'am.
Okay, so we're going on to committee reports. Let's see here. Does the Wastewater Committee, Director Vice President Fouché, or your liaison have a report that you'd like to give tonight? Would the Wastewater Committee like to do a short oral report?
Well, I hadn't anticipated doing this, but the last 2 months we've met once once a month instead of the twice a month, and we had a committee sponsored workshop that we had anticipated sponsoring, and we've had to cancel that twice because of the cease and desist orders. Some of our speakers are with the county and with the regional board, and so they can't or won't participate in that until after the CDOs are heard. And so that was one of the events that we thought would be good to have going now. The timing was good. It's on septic management program and on-site systems. And so we're looking for that in June now, it's going to be. But in the meantime, we aren't meeting the first Tuesday. We're going to be meeting the third Tuesday of the month. And John has said that it seems to be what we have for the agenda instead of twice a month. After June, once we start getting into the wastewater project report and digging into that, we'll probably be meeting quite often, maybe even weekly for a short time, because there'll be a lot to cover. But right now, we're in a holding pattern mode on some of these issues. There was some interest in looking at Earthship's system and also in following the Piranha. And there was discussion about the affordability study and discussion on that. And if I'm missing something, we'll catch it next time. But the Wastewater Committee has the next agenda will be posted, and we'll be meeting on, I believe it's the, I don't have a calendar in front of me, is it the 16th? Yep. Is that Tuesday?
Tuesday the 16th of
yes.
May.
At 7 o'clock at the office, and the public is certainly welcome, and hopefully we'll have some good status reports on some of the activities that are coming out of this, including discussion on a septic management program. So thank you very much.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Bleski, I have a question on the wastewater or finance. Maybe Steve can answer it. Who is doing the affordability RFP analysis, and where is that at?
I guess our last board meeting. I was out for that one, but the recent one we had last night, we covered some pretty, at least one very significant issue. But the things we did consider were the recommendation for staff to borrow funds from other functions for the wastewater project, hiring of a temporary position for administrative services manager, and a proposal to recruit a permanent general manager. And let's see, we also looked at the next iteration of preparing the tax rolls for 2006-07. There was some very good input from the committee as well as just from the public, and it really did lead to some significant changes that made a difference to the district. We can't stress how valuable that is. Again, I encourage participation from the community. Financial Advisory Committee is a very important role for the community to get involved in and to see actually what's going on. And it was a very good meeting.
Great. Thank you. Any questions from the board on the meeting? Okay. The next committee would be Environmental Committee. Director Cesenia.
We last met the 14th, was it? No, the 11th? Anyway, early April. We'll meet again Tuesday night, 7 o'clock at the CSD office. And basically, we've gotten past housekeeping, and we're in the middle of revising bylaws and looking at the meteor subjects we'll be taking on. And one of the things we're just waiting for is a project report to move along so that we see what direction the supplemental environmental report will be taking. And that's when I expect this committee to really get active.
Great. Any questions from the board on the committee report? Okay. Emergency Services, Director Tacker.
Okay. We last met April 18th. And just so everyone knows, we meet on the third Tuesday of the month at 5 p.m. at the fire station, except this month. We're going to meet on the 23rd at 5 p.m. We had a scheduling conflict, so we're going to meet on the fourth Tuesday this month. Last time we talked at great length about an item that's on our board's agenda tonight and the implications of the wastewater project on the budget at the fire department should we borrow from the fire station. So our committee was invited, and I know that some of our members went to the finance committee last night. I think that was good to get those members down there to kind of get their feet wet. and I'm sure there was some heated discussion, and unfortunately I work Wednesday evenings and was not able to attend, so I get to hear about the committee for a while. It's going to be budget and our fire tax and our level of service, and again, those discussions go on month after month, and you're all invited.
Great, thank you. Thank you. Any questions, comments? All right, we're going to move on to the ad hoc reports right now. Anybody from Grants Committee want to report? Mr. Brewer?
Well, I guess since I'm the only one here, I'll report. The Grants Committee hasn't met since, I guess, last month. We had a last meeting before Karen Vendetti went out of town. Our next meeting is going to be May 8th. The discussion basically centers around trying to get by the roadblocks we've kind of run into. The recent article in the paper about the lawsuit sort of underlines that roadblock, and that is the state water board suing us and suing them back and stuff like that. It seems to put the kibosh on us applying for grants, even applying for them. So we're trying to like come up with a way of getting around the roadblock somehow. That's the kind of thing we're going to be brainstorming, I think, at the next meeting. We're also working on our mission statement. We're exploring some different grants and that sort of thing at this point. But yeah, it should be an interesting meeting, the next one, May 8th.
Great, great. Any questions from the board this time? I just have a small one. Are you looking at any other, like, federal agencies besides, or USDA?
We were told by Greg Haas that we would have a problem with just about all of them at this point.
Any federal?
And since that's, like, a pretty reliable source for getting grants, it's kind of a good, you know, a good thing. So we kind of need to fix, I guess, get our ducks in a row and put our house in order before we can. But I know it sounds kind of negative, but I really think we should go for these grants. So I think it's worthwhile for us to do that, absolutely worthwhile. That said, I mean, just we should do whatever it takes to get them. I know a lot of people sort of thinking, well, the state did this and the state did that. And, well, you know what? I mean, that's the federal government sending those grants, and this community really could use those grants, I mean, more than most communities in California. And we should definitely do whatever we can to get as much money as we can to help us with the wastewater project, but also other projects too. And that, you know, that could like curtail things that you know, the water division's trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing is really important as well. So I mean, I guess we put it on our head to try to figure out how to solve those problems if we can. Great. We'll try. Thank you.
Yeah. And I have another just quick question for the committee that you could take back. Are you guys looking at research abilities as well as grants, like possible research, doing some research?
Yeah, we would. We're also talking about writing grants. I mean, we really haven't been given the okay to do that, but a lot of people have asked us about it. We'd really kind of like to try our hand at it, because we really do think that, you know, going for these grants is really critical. And it's, you know, every time I think about things, you know, I'm on the other committee, wastewater. Everything I think about revolves around trying to get these grants instead of the loan, because I think the loan was like a bad deal for the community, but I can't see what's wrong with the grants. I mean, sometimes they make you jump through a few hoops, but at least you don't have to pay the money back. You know, I mean, that's the way I look at it.
And what time are you meeting?
We're meeting at 6:30, I think.
That's kind of, just so you know.
At Linda Bomstead's house was the last we heard, so because Karen's out of town. She's in Italy right now. She's lucky dog.
Oh, can you adjust it slightly? Because the environmental committee meets at 7.
Sure. I mean, I could send out an email and ask them, would you like to attend or someone would and help us out with that?
I just thought maybe you might want to be attending the environmental meeting, too.
Oh.
That's why I didn't want you to miss it, too. That's all. So just so you know, environmental's meeting at 7. Tentatively, you're meeting at 6:30.
So we really, if you guys could show up and, like, give us any kind of advice, it would be, at this point, would be very,
great.
Very useful.
Great. Thank you very much. Okay. Another ad hoc committee is community outreach. Director Tacker?
Our committee does meet on Friday nights. We did not meet last Friday night because most of us were involved in the CDO hearings that went till 10:30 p.m. from 10 a.m. But we did sort of a subcommittee met over the weekend and over the internet to get you an update on the CDOs, and that'll be in your mailbox this week. Update on the CDOs, a message from Lisa, and a little update on the project and what Ripley Pacific has been up to and what they're going to be doing in the next few weeks. So just a little note in your mailbox this week. Also inviting you to attend the back to the CDO meetings on Thursday and Friday next week. So that's what we did over the weekend, but we will be meeting tomorrow at 6 o'clock at the CSD office to do it again, to digest what the board does and get you all more information about what we're doing. So,
great, thank you. Any other questions? Questions about that? The next ad hoc committee is Mora Bay National Estuary Program. Director Sasania, attended.
This afternoon, the implementation committee for the NEP met, and that is a group of all stakeholders that are involved in the National Estuary Programs. They have a master work plan, a comprehensive management plan that's funded by a settlement with Chevron quite a few years ago, passed through the federal government. Do lots of projects in the watershed, the Morro Bay Estuary watershed, in terms of riparian fencing, habitat protection and acquisition. They're going to be moving more into water quality monitoring. They do some of that now, basically first flush monitoring the first rainstorms, catching what comes off the streets and measuring that. But they're going to be branching out into pathogens and bacterias, mostly at creek points where they enter the bay, and be looking at those kinds of things. But I think that'll give us good information too, because if the programs show that fencing cattle and animals out of the stream reduces E. coli and other bacteria and pathogens coming down into the bay, it'll just be a better picture about what really is causing the pollution there. So that's the monthly meeting.
Great, thank you. Any questions? Okay. The other
we're very adamant that we be dissolved because we were an embarrassment to other CSDs in this county. Since Templeton and Oceano CSDs are represented on LAFCO, I took that with many grains of salt. We heard lots of good comments from people basically wanting to get to know us. What are you doing out there? You know, because all we know is what we read in the paper. Mr. Brooks from Templeton was especially going out of his way to come over and just make sure that we got introduced and got off on a good foot. One of the most interesting comments that I heard all night was that the worst thing that's happened to special districts was the televising of meetings, because it just leads to too darn much public input. You get all those grandstanders out there that love to be on TV. And I thought, well, I have a different opinion. I think it's one of the best tools. Grandstanders will be out no matter what, whether it's just on camera or just before your board. And I just think that it's a great tool. I cannot imagine not televising these meetings. And it was a good night.
So just to continue on that front, we also have been going and speaking at Board of Supervisor meetings and the LAFCO board, as you know, trying to update them on our activities and progress in all areas. So, again, we learned a lot by just going to that CSDA meeting about how much they did not know about us. It was great to have that one-on-one, meet us face-to-face, ask us questions. And again, if they're just reading the papers, they don't have any idea how much we do or what we do. And when we tell them how many people come to the meetings, they are very surprised. And don't have as many people coming to their meetings as we do. And so, not that that means everything, because we have the television too, but I just, as far as that goes, Director Tacker, did you take account of there's at least 40 people here right at this moment tonight. We've been hearing that from other groups that there's a lot less people attending than there really are. So I thought we should announce that tonight. And now Director Tacker would like to do a short presentation on what she's been doing.
Okay. I have been a little busy. These guys all have 40-hour week jobs. I have a 20-hour week job and a flexible schedule. So I was lucky enough to make some appointments to meet with our Board of Supervisors on an individual basis. On March 23rd, I met with Jim Patterson. On April 5th, I met with Shirley Bianchi, Kachu Ashajian, and Harry Ovitt. Mr. Lenthal had an emergency and we couldn't meet, so we did not meet. On April 25th, I met with the Assistant County Administrator, Gail Wilcox, and also with a Deputy Public Works Director, Paavo Ogren. And what I wanted to share with you tonight is kind of what they were asking me and what I was teaching them about what the district's doing. And so I wanted to share that with you and right now. And is the overhead on? Okay. So some of the things that they didn't know that we were doing, one in particular is the $5 million important, and it's something we should be proud of, and you should all know. And Mr. Milanis comes and gives us reports on that. So, you know, most of the community is kind of paying attention and probably does know, but that's not the sewer project. That is our water project. Something else that we've done as a board is adopt a level severity 3 for the county's resource management system. And what that means is we believe that our water supply is compromised, and we are in level severity 3. There's 1, 2, 3. And that's a severe situation that we believe our water is in short supply and we need to do something about it. And we've asked the county to help by undertaking what's called a resource capacity study. And what they'll do is take all the data that the district has compiled, the data that Cal Cities has compiled, anything that S&T Mutual has, and they'll put it all together and they'll see what we have left of our resources and what we need to do, which leads me into a conservation program. Our board hired Wallace Group last fall to update our conservation program. And this summer, we will have a plan, and we will start implementing the best management practices for water conservation in Los Osos. And that's going to go way beyond low-flow toilets and showerheads. We're going to be looking at landscape. We're going to be looking at asking you to get washers, new washing machines, and we're going to really do some smart things about water. And so that's something I want. Thank you for clapping. Because, you know, we're not allowed to clap. Me in particular. That was something else I was telling these board members is that we are aggressively pursuing water conservation. A septic system management program. The waste discharge requirements for our project given to us, it's a license, it's a permit, given to us by the Regional Water Quality Control Board, says we must have a septic tank management plan in place by January 2004. We're just a little late. So our board, in the last few weeks, we've hired in situ engineering to come in, assess our situation, and devise a plan and a program that then we can implement
and do the best for our septic systems and the best management plan, whether it's a pumping regime, getting you all educated, and what we should be doing with our septic tanks and septic systems. The biggest, most exciting thing we've done is hire Ripley Pacific to update our project report. And I want to talk about the project report, but that's exciting because it's analyzing the prior project against the environmentally superior project. It's going to show us the environmentally preferred project and what it costs and where the plant should be and the collection system. And we're going to, he's Ripley thing. I see the Tribune is in the room tonight. Sorry, but we've somehow aren't getting our message through that there is progress in Los Osos towards a wastewater project. And then there was the criticism, well, you didn't have a plan. We've always had a plan. This board ran on a plan. First number one priority was to move the sewer. And last I checked, the five members of this board supported the environmentally superior project that was identified in the EIR. And let me just, for a visual, upside down. There we go. Put that one down. In the EIR, I think it's page 310, table 8-4. This is your rating of alternatives. The environmentally superior alternatives are bolded on this page and in the type. The collection method, environmentally superior, is step stag. Septic tank effluent pump / septic tank effluent gravity. The treatment, extended aeration hybrid, was proposed. We're going to look at a hybrid, and it's going to be a mechanical pond. So that is the environmentally superior alternative. Treatment sites. You'll notice that Andre is number one for the environmentally preferred, environmentally superior treatment site. And Tri-W was fourth out of five locations. How did it get to the top? So this is something that I shared with the supervisors and with the county staff that I met with, that our board had a plan, and it was to pick up the document and go with the project that was identified as the environmentally superior project. Coincidentally, in another document that we are updating, it's the project report, there's this table. It's table 4-4, page 4-26, where it identifies the same project, the out-of-town project, as cheaper by $200,000, $400,000 a year. Right? We looked that up. $400,000 a year. So you can look these documents yourself. I'm going to put a couple of copies of these pages on the table tonight for those in the room, but go to the district office and look at these reports yourself. And the project was already identified for us. So that's the plan that this board came in. That's the platform that we ran on. And now I want that map, Lisa. I brought this with me each time I went to the supervisors and then to the county staff, and it was really helpful because we could talk about the past locations, and you'll recognize the Pismo site next to the junior high school was identified by the county as their preferred project back in the 90s. Then we, of course, I think the biggest question that everyone asks is, show me an out-of-town site. Well, there's hundreds of acres out of town. And if you go through this environmental process that these documents and this is law, California Environmental Quality Act law, you must go through this process to find your superior project, it's going to identify the land for us. And I think what derailed the project before was that the site was pre-chosen. And so we don't want to do that. And we didn't We never said we had a site because we didn't want to pre-choose a site. Let the process choose the site. So that was our first plan, is to go with the original plan that was identified by the old board as the superior project. What happened is we went to construction and we had to get a salvage plan. So I call that project number two. And what I want to point out is that we had construction going on over here near the middle school. You guys all saw the Barnard construction yard. All the pipes, many are still there. We had construction of a gravity sewer already going into the ground over there. Sunset Terrace, streets are torn up, and again, more pipe was going in the ground just a few days before the election. So our board had to come up with a salvage plan. And that's what we did when we suspended work. We did not stop our project. We suspended work. We asked Rob Miller to go tell us how much pipe is in the ground. And when he was ready to come back and tell us, this is how much inventory is in the ground, this is what we can do, the salvage plan, the state stopped our money. We couldn't keep going. We wanted to. We weren't happy with the Stepstead collection, but we had an investment, and we wanted to maybe finish up these neighborhoods and get them to a pump station, get them to a collection point, and then be able to maybe change the way the rest of the community was collected. It made sense. We had a salvage plan. Project number two, within days before the election, we had one plan. After the election, we had plan number two. Days later, plan number three, Blakesley. It was a compromise. It was a painful compromise. That collection system was very expensive. But again, the aisle was gone. The community was united in strains of kumbaya with the Blakesley plan. That was the third project that we had. Again, that fell apart. No money, no project, no way to proceed. So it sent us to project number four, and that's what Ripley Pacific is doing for us now through a proper process. And by the first week of August, we should have some. We're going to be divulging his progress all along the way. You're going to hear he's going to bring in some workshops. We're going to talk about it. But that's the fourth project. In under a year, you're going to have had four projects from this board. In my meeting with the county administrator and the public works representative, they wanted to talk about a long process where they would have to stop, inventory, analyze, and start over. That's not in the best interest of the community, in my opinion. But they did ask for the seawater intrusion study, the groundwater management plan. They wanted to take a look at Measure B. They wanted to see the Blakesley deal. They were very confused as why the Blakesley deal didn't go. That made sense. Let's go. Let's keep going. But the Blakesley deal, I believe there were citizens behind it that made it fall apart. So that's too bad, and here we are. Somebody mentioned grants, and Paavo Ogren is very much involved in the Water Resources Advisory Council, correct? He did mention that we are still on that list for the $19 million grant, and as part of a $50 million grant application for the county. So that's encouraging news, and he believes that that is important to get, you know, this is probably the one most important water issue in the county is what's happening in Los Osos. So we're still intact there. So I just wanted to share that. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. It was very nice to meet all of them and well received. I will tell you that Mrs. Bianchi and Mr. Ashajian are both on the LAFCO board and felt it inappropriate to talk about dissolution at the time, but we did talk about the progress of the project and the other things that I mentioned, and they seemed like they knew that we're doing our job. So wanted to share that with you.
No, it's a very nice overview, and thank you for taking your time to go and see them. I think the rest of the board is planning to go as well to visit them and the LAFCO representatives as time allows. It's just a little harder for our schedules. Any questions for Director Tacker or any other ones? Just a really nice report. Thank you. Thank you. And just keep that up there. That's great. That people can't see that too well. So, oh, you wanted to leave that up there, Julie? Just the map. Yeah. Because I'm going to make sure that people see that. That concludes. Oh, I wanted to ask Mr. Blesky, is Mr. Boykin here? I don't see him. Did he want to report on the cleanup days?
No, Mr. Boykin's not here this evening.
Okay. I'd like to have a report of that maybe next time.
Next meeting, yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Did you want to add anything? Since Chuck was on the truck all day, I was there part of the time.
I can report how tired I was. I took Monday off work. There's an amazing amount of stuff in our backyards. I mean, we sent dumpster after dumpster. I mean, not just dumpsters, roll-off dumpsters. So there should be a whole lot more room in the backyards for gardens. Let's watch our water and irrigation when we grow our vegetables. But it was actually a pretty fun day. Got to meet a lot of people, and we have a hard-working utility crew. For guys who gave up a weekend to come down there, I done getting paid or not, you gave up a weekend, and they worked hard, 7:30 till 4.
Yes, it was very amazing to me how much trash we all have, but then I look at my up.
Chipping days it is.
And Mrs. Vega, you were involved with the day as well. Did you have anything that you'd like to report from the day? Okay. But it was what a great service to the community, and it looks like we need it. Okay. All right, now we're going on to consent calendar. Would anyone like to pull any of the items off the consent calendar? Director Tacker?
We do need to pull number 7. We had several requests for that today via email, and I do think it deserves its own time.
Okay, we're pulling item 7 for discussion afterwards. Any other items?
Just to emphasize that the recommendation of item 7 has changed, so if anybody hasn't seen the updated staff report, there should be copies on the side table.
Okay. I do want to talk about number 10 also.
And you want to pull 10? Okay, we're pulling 7 and 10.
Can we ask questions about some of the others, like number 9?
Of course.
I have questions about that.
Okay, so is there any other ones we want to pull? Okay, we'll just ask a couple questions then about 9, then you can decide.
Where's that report?
Mrs. Biggs, if we just want to ask questions and not necessarily pull them, how do you do that?
Well, you ask them.
Pardon? And you then you don't pull them up front. Okay.
Well, at this point, you're pulled 7 and 10, as I understand it. If there are questions about the rest of them, you should ask those questions and get those in. And if they can be resolved just with a question, then you can leave them on the consent agenda.
I think what Vice President Fouché wanted to know is if he just had questions, did he have to pull it? No.
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 So you do not want to pull 10. We're pulling 7 for right now, and we're just going to ask questions on the rest and maybe or maybe not pull. Okay. Is that what you meant? Okay. Who has questions?
I have questions. I guess that's item 9, the temporary staff services manager, administrative services manager. I want to make sure I understand this correctly. We are increasing the annual salary quite a bit, it looks like, from the current base level salary, but we're only putting out a 6-month contract. But I wasn't sure. Not all the health benefits were going to be wrapped into that contract?
That's correct. What we did was we converted the health benefit package that's been budgeted by the board, that's paid to the employees, is $590 a month. And the candidate actually has a retirement health package. So we converted that. What remained, the candidate wanted, we negotiated with the candidate for dental and vision coverage. And then we converted the rest of that health benefit into the salary. So we offset that increased salary with that health benefit.
So it's not 36,000 plus the reduced amount of the health benefits. The total compensation package is 36,000 plus, I guess, a reduced health benefits and then vision and dental. Some other CSDs to work with. Pay ranges are all over the place. Duties, who knows what they are without duty statements. And then there's the fact that some communities, like San Luis Obispo, 68% of their budget is related to personnel services, and yet, is that Grover Beach, 33%. And trying to balance all that, I don't know. It just seems like a kind of a dartboard approach.
Well,
but I don't know how else you'd do it any better.
President Shicker,
Mrs. Bates,
I'm going to say that you really do need to pull this if you're going to have this kind of a discussion of it. It's one thing to ask questions about, you know, things within it just to clarify something that you think is an error. It's something else if you really want to discuss it back and forth. So I would suggest you pull that item.
Okay, we're pulling item 9. So far we're pulling item 7 and 9. Okay.
There is no 8.
Okay. Did you want to continue? Who else would like to discuss? Director Tacker?
Okay, I have a concern over item 10. Mr. Blesky, that's to authorize solicitation of proposals from firms to perform professional recruitment of permanent general manager. You're asking us to let you find a firm that then will recruit a general manager. Do you have any idea what price range this service will cost?
No, we didn't want to release that. Because we want them to just bring us back what they think that it's going to cost us. That's why we're just going out for an RFP. What our intention to do, and this is what we explained on, and a lot of this was discussed last night at committee on all these items, but on this one specifically, we're concerned about the cost. We want to find out what the cost is, but staff does not have the time to concentrate on doing the job right, and general managers are few and far between. We also have an element there of about what salaries are prevailing. The Central Coast's salaries are changing dramatically.
So determining a salary would come with this firm?
They would be able to advise us on what's an appropriate salary, yes.
I see.
And the job description, and basically be able to compile the duties and other things like benefits and perk packages that a GM would have, what would constitute a comparable job. For example, you know, we'll discuss a lot of this also when we talk about the ASM, but they provide a lot of services. We're not looking to make a commitment. Once we receive the proposals, we'll evaluate them, and then we would be going back through committee and then bringing it back to the board with a recommendation, if, in fact, we do bring it back to the board.
If we bring it back to the board.
Right. If we were going to make an award of a contract, we would come back to the board to do that.
Okay, I get that. I guess we'll hear from the public before I vote.
Sure.
Let me think about it.
Okay. Any other questions on item 10? Any questions on 10, 11, 12, or 4? 7 and 9 are pulled. Who would like to speak first? Step up to the podium, please. Up the lectern. It's like your first, Mr. Baltimore.
Yeah. All right. Craig Baltimore, Los Osos, board, staff, citizens of Los Osos. We're taking public comment on the reports or consent items right now. Okay. Comments on the report on the closed sessions that occurred earlier today. I'm concerned about the board's...
Comments would have had to come before the closed session at 4:30.
But you reported about the closed sessions today at the beginning.
What do you say, Mrs. Biggs?
Excuse me. Yeah, we did report on that, and If there is a comment on that report, I think that would be appropriate.
It would have to be on the items that were in the report.
Right.
Which were those two. Okay.
Right. Okay. Can we start again?
Go ahead. Start over. Time.
Okay. I'm concerned about the board's closed sessions meeting regarding the Los Osos community property that's for sale without public at-large input. The board has repeated closed session meetings with the board's real estate negotiator for the sale of three large plots of land that belong to the people in the community of Los Osos. To date, the board has not held an open and public session to discuss the sale of the use of this land. Today, the board held another closed session meeting to give instruction with regard to setting the sale price in terms of disposition of this property. It is my understanding that previous meeting agendas on public forum issues have not included the sale of properties as an item for discussion. The sale of these properties have been listed only as closed session and reports of closed session. I have a number of questions regarding this sale. Why are we selling the property? Is it surplus? Why are we selling the property? Is the sale simply to generate revenue? The assessed values are $7.5 million. And if it is for the revenue, what's the revenue to be applied to? Why are we selling the property? Is it a strategic maneuver to erase a fallback site for the building of the sewer plant? The question is, why are we selling the property? The community this size of Los Osos is in dreadfully short supply of parks and community spaces. And one of the biggest hurdles in getting community parks and spaces is the acquisition of land. So why sell this land? Let's keep the land. The San Luis Obispo Coastal District has tentative long-term plans to put in a swim complex in Morro Bay. We could use this land and work with the Coastal District and put the swim complex here. The community gardens. We have open spaces, but Elfin Forest and Montaña de Oro are not spaces where three-year-olds can run, where families can have picnics, where preteens can have unlimited frisbee type games and then walk to the corner market to get a soda. We need open spaces and parks. If we can't afford to get these open spaces, the county is more than willing to buy them and take them over and run them for us. The Tri-W site, the library is short of space. They can expand into that. That can be an amphitheater to the backside of it. The Tri-W site belongs to the bondholders. This is fraught with more potential for lawsuits. Let's not have any more lawsuits. Let's take this to the public, see what the public wants with this land. Don't sell it, okay? The code under this, the government code under this, says that we have to have before it's sold.
Initiated in closed session, discussed in closed session, negotiated essentially in closed session, until such time as there is action that needs to be taken. Then the action can be taken and will be taken in a public forum. But the entire preliminary discussion here is one that is within the board's discretion, and everything that has gone on has been fully legal and in the compliance with the Brown Act.
Thank you. We're on consent item, public comment, and oral and written administrative reports.
My name is Al Barrow, and I'd love to answer that question or just shed some light on it for you, if I could. The assessment was passed to pay for sewer land purchases and for engineering costs. So if I may have your attention, because this is a matter, a legal matter, and simply is, this money, whatever proceeds go from the sale of that land, should be back in the wastewater fund because people were assessed for the wastewater project. I don't see how you can justify using land that was purchased for sewer in an assessment specifically and voted on by the people to change that for some other purpose. And I'm all for parks, but I don't think this is an appropriate way of. I think it's illegal to use the proceeds of selling wastewater land for anything other than wastewater. It would be more appropriate to return the money to the assessed people before you would use that money for buying parks. So I don't think, you know, I mean, it's a nice idea, but you proposed that this district, not this board, but previous board, proposed to the citizens that they had to have a cheaper way to fund their project, and the way was through a bond issue by an assessment. So that assessment is bound, and the monies are bound for the purposes of that assessment. And if you go back and read that, it was very clear it's for the sewer. And would you please clarify that, manager and attorney? Thank you.
Mrs. Biggs, Mr. Bleski?
There definitely are restrictions on the proceeds that may come from the sale of property, and the district certainly will abide by those restrictions.
Mr. Bleski?
The speaker's comments regarding that it should go back into the, that it was purchased with sewer bond funds and should go back in the sewer, well, my only answer to that is yes, he's correct.
Thank you. Ms. Owen?
Good evening, Lindy Owen, the Prohibition Zone. I think maybe the speaker needs to go back and really evaluate what the plan for Los Osos was, which was no parks. There was never any land set aside for parks. And to take areas that were designated for the sewer and now assume that we have all the money in the world to just turn those over into parks and then we'll find some more money to build a sewer, I'm sorry, I think he's dreaming. That's the one thing that I always look for a full-time general manager. And I would think that we kind of know what we're looking for and would urge that we look at least going into California Water News and putting the ads out in places that we already know we're not looking for a conventional sewer builder or a management firm that is in looking to do a pro-development community. We're trying to be green, sustainable. Those, as far as I understand, that is what we are after. And so I would urge that we put out advertising in that way, and then we have ways to review. We can run their resumes around. I don't know how much, there's no price on this, so I don't know how much it was going to cost. But in the hopes of trying to save every penny we can so we can build, move ahead, I urge that we put that into California Water News and other agencies that have those types of managerial position people. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Swanson?
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. Regarding parks, all the parks we have in Los Osos are all donated by, I believe, Mr. Schweitzer. The county owes us big time for parks, but not a sewer park. I had a comment regarding the professional recruitment. The thing is that with the black cloud of a possible dissolution of the district, I think it's going to be pretty tough to find anybody that's going to want to hire into Los Osos until that's gone away. So maybe you just, I guess you could, it's just, we're short on money, folks. You guys really got to tighten up. That's why I have a problem with this postcard going out. How much did that cost? I mean, every little thousand here and thousand there adds up, and we really got to watch ourselves. Regarding the CDO hearing, Dr. Wickham testimony, the defense rests. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Swanson. Who else would like to speak on consent or reports? Mr. Cooper.
Good evening, Bo Cooper. Two things. I want to agree with what Keith just said about Dan Wickham. It should have settled the case. Any rational person would have said, oh, thanks for informing us. We'll come around to your side, and we'll support the ESD in their search for a good wastewater treatment project. Thank you very much. In my mind, that's all obvious. The other thing is a terrific report, Julie. I think it's essential that you give it to LAFCO, that you talk to Paul Hood, and either give him a copy of a film of what you just did, or, of course, in person would be that much better. But it was excellent, and I think he needs to really see that so he can give a report. His report will be important to the decision of the commission, or potentially important, and that's coming up June 14th. So that needs to be done soon, and please, I think it would be a wonderful thing if you could do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Moylan?
Good evening. I hope this is the right time to talk about this. My name is Beverly DeWitt Moylan. I'm a CDO recipient in the Prohibition Zone. I was very concerned the other day to get a CDO and that they can be prepared when it happens to them. For the past several months, I have looked in vain for articles in your newspaper, to the Trib, dealing with recipients of proposed cease and desist orders from the RWQCB. This topic seemed extremely newsworthy from many angles, yet week after week, month after month, you contacted neither my husband and me nor any proposed CDO recipient with whom I am familiar. After a showy struggle with the RWQCB to get names of proposed CDO recipients, you did nothing with the information. These have not been easy months for those of us who have received proposed CDOs. We are exhausted beyond your understanding. This prosecution has invaded our lives. We take it to work and home again. We eat our meals with it. We sleep with it. We wake up in the night with it. It is there when we help our children with their homework and when we play with our pets. It is there when we talk to our grandchildren on the phone. It is there when we spend time with friends, attend church, or work in our gardens. It sends us to the hospital for emergency treatment for high blood pressure, heart conditions, and stress. It dominates our thoughts. We are ordinary citizens who have been singled out extraordinarily for prosecution by a government agency for something over which we have no control. Those who have never faced prosecution by an omnipotent government agency have no idea what it is like to try to keep from drowning in the voluminous necessary research, paperwork, and meetings it takes to mount a defense of our property while conducting the business of everyday life at the same time. This group of courageous, hardworking, smart, warm, and compassionate people have done this almost alone, ignored by the media, unless we have made the contacts and they have responded. We have received none of the attention we are entitled to as your neighbors who are besieged and defenseless. From the uninformed public, we have received reactions ranging from, "It's your own fault," to "Keep us posted," to "We feel for you," to "What do you mean? I thought it was all over when they said we didn't have to pump after all." Many of our neighbors have no idea that prosecution awaits them as well. Finally, it was too much to hope that our county newspaper would afford us the dignity of reporting the RWQCB hearing as it happened. It is discouraging to discover that our own newspaper would use its power to marginalize and demean Los Osos and its citizens by misrepresentation, by selective reporting, and by false statements and gossip depicted as news. Thank you.
Thank you very much. There's some things that you just have to let a little applause go for, and that was one heck of a letter. Thank you very much, Mrs. Moylan. Okay, Mr. Dugan.
Dave Dugan, Los Osos. As Abraham Hyatt has said to me in an email, we don't read the press releases. They're spin. The type of yellow journalism that the Tribune participates in is pretty low. On item 9, I'm interested as service manager. The question is, I believe there's three people that were considered. Were they all three interviewed, and why was the third person not considered? Environmental committee. I haven't made one of those yet. I think we'll. As far as the other CSDs are concerned, the county sent a letter to LAFCO saying that it would be have a bad impact on the general fund and it would affect projects through the county if the CSD is dissolved. They don't want to touch this. They don't want it. I know this board is trying their best to get through this CEQA process through the project update. They cannot divulge or say that we have a site or this site or that site. We know they have a plan. I know what their plan is. It's a hybrid system. It's the system of the future. They're just working on getting this report together. At times, people say that this board is not going anywhere. Well, in fact, this board is going faster than you know. By the time June rolls around and August rolls around, they'll be right where they should be. And one last thing. Somebody talk about Tri-W. Tri-W is in the project report. There's going to be comparisons to Tri-W. Tri-W is in there. So don't say that we left Tri-W out. That is what we're going to be actually comparing things to. You're going to find out that Tri-W does not meet qualifications. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dugan.
Dave, for your information, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, CSD office will be the Environmental Review Committee.
May 9th, next week.
Yes, May 9th.
Who else would like to speak? Nobody? Come on up. Mr. Jones. Looks like he's coming next.
Madam President,
Mr.
the speaker
Bresky?
had a question he wanted answered. The third candidate that we looked at just didn't have the years of experience or the large organization they also had an A degree, not a bachelor's degree, as the candidate that we interviewed as number two.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Jones.
Okay. Michael Jones. I'm going to grandstand tonight, and I'm going to grandstand like crazy. At this point, you can turn the cameras off if you want, but it's the cable access is how I became informed and got involved in this community. A funny thing happened to me on Saturday morning. I guess there was a carnival at the middle school over the weekend. Anyway, I slept in and went over to Valley 76 and spent what seemed like a day's pay on a tank of gas. While I was there, I went inside to get a newspaper and a cup of coffee. The girl at the counter asked me if I'd been to the circus. Well, it must have been a bit early for me, because without hesitation, I immediately started talking about the water board hearing from the day before. After about 20 seconds, I noticed she was giving me a blank stare, so I asked her what circus she was talking about. She said there was a carnival at the school. I apologized, held up my paper, and said, "I'm sorry, I thought you were talking about this circus." I attended the morning session of the water board hearing last week. For 2 weeks, I pestered my boss to get the day off. In the end, the best I could do was angle a compromise where I would go in 3 hours early and take a four-hour lunch. I want to thank this board for what it has taught me about fortitude and compromise and break us down. I guess they still don't quite have their finger on the pulse of our community yet, do they? There is something the water board needs to know about Lindy Owen. I know Lindy Owen. Lindy Owen represents Los Osos. Lindy Owen will not break. CDO recipient Bruce Payne said he felt like he had the weight of our coastal village on his back. I know Bruce Payne. Bruce Payne is strong. Bruce Payne will not break. Rob Scheit, Bill and Beverly Moylan, John Dergarabedian, Chris Allenby, and others of our Frontline 45 waited from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. They waited fervently and anxious to present their cases and defend our community. Rob, Bill, Beverly, John, Chris, and all our CDO recipients will not break. The CDO action has brought us together and made us stronger. Los Osos will not break. This CSD and their staff who sit before us represent the citizens of Los Osos. And this CSD, are elected by the people, Los Osos CSD is not broken. And I have more I'll give later, but I cannot thank you enough. And never in my life have I felt such representation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you. Ms. McPherson.
Thank you. Good evening, board and staff. Boy, those are hard acts to follow, you know. I wanted to thank Bev DeWitt Moylan for presenting just one face behind the CDOs. CDOs represent a whole lot more than enforcement or trying to bend the will of the community or to give us a message and wake us up. We're wide awake. We've been wide awake for many years. And it's sad that the failure of government is then is several governments fail, and then what they do is they come out and punish individuals for that failure. That's unacceptable, and I hope the whole world watches before it's all over. Julie made some provided some important information on the financial state of the community, and that needs to be in the CDOs. 30% of low income has always been kind of the number that's been bantied around, but that's very important. And as we go forward to talk about the CDOs, there's a lot of good evidence out there that, one, environmentally it's a bad idea. Air quality kind of spoke to that a little, but there's a whole lot more. The regulatory reasons for it aren't valid. And, of course, the financial is a basis for defense, too. And then last, the pumping and the CDOs do cause more harm than good. But there's an opportunity for you to then move forward and offer to do something for us and in behalf of us, as governments are supposed to do for individual people. There's no one here that can grab a shovel and start building a plant, although we've thought about it a lot. So we're going to be asking that you take control of that, that process for us. Remove some of the nitrates in the interim, like they want to do, make some improvements, and do that for us. And so I appreciate that. I had something to talk about on the lawsuits and how you got here and why we need to solution cannot. And it's as simple as that. It's not about you, the taxpayers. It's about just a few who want to regain control. And thank you very much for listening.
Thank you very much. Mr. Ricano.
Honorable Board, staff, friends at home, Joey Ricano, Ocean Outfall Group. The Ocean Outfall Group, as of yesterday, is a bona fide 501c3, so don't hesitate to donate some money. Anyhow, as you may know, over in Morrow Bay, the day before your meeting, the Morrow Bay Cayucas Joint Powers Agency voted 8-1 to shorten their timeline to 8 years to go to full secondary treatment. Janice Peters abstaining. The interesting point about this and how it ties in with your situation.
Joey, is that on the consent calendar?
Well, I was going to be leading into the regional board's meeting, the CDOs.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it will. I think it'll work. But I did want to mention the that I concurred with a previous speaker about the crime of omission by our local media. They've been omitting a lot of things. And at that meeting that I was just talking about, there wasn't even any press there. And, you know, I mean, it's always nice to know how many fire engines are in a parking lot, but it's also important to know when you've had one of the biggest environmental victories in the history of the Central Coast. So you are going to be having some help in cleaning up the water from the people who are doing the mega dumping, Morrow Bay Cayucas. Also, I've said often that dissolution is no solution to pollution and that we've never been anti-sewer, that all we ever wanted was a newer sewer. Joyce Albright wrote a piece today in the Sun Bulletin that was talking about that the citizens of Los Osos were horn-swiggled. Now, horn-swiggled is a wonderful colloquialism, but I think she was copying my Legend of the Los Osos Kid. So, you know, Joyce, I'll take it as a compliment. Don't forget that the regional board, as rough as they're being on us, were rough on me when I portrayed a regional plan up in Sacramento. Bruce Daniels went up there and spoke against it. That's a regional board, the same regional board, speaking against a regional plan. It just hardly makes any sense. And I think that the ray of sunshine shining in here is the way that Blakeslee stepped up to the plate for this community over and over again. And I think he's made it pretty clear that to legislate around the regional board, we're going to have to go regional full tertiary. So I would respectfully request that this board keep in mind that some of your neighbors to the north are willing to get together. And I thank you for this opportunity to address you.
Thank you, Mr. Ricano. Who else would like to speak? Yes, sir.
Good evening, and thank you. I don't know if this is relevant to the consent calendar, so my apologies if it's not. I am.
If you just complete your comments, then we'll.
So I guess I'm trying to get an understanding, and I don't know. Hopefully, help others get an understanding of an approximate timeline. I'm going to be writing letters in support of the CSD
to LAFCO and other elected representatives, and I guess another part of my question is it a good idea? Does it make sense to include that, to diplomatically ask these organizations to back off and create some operating space for you folks by saying, look, we've got a finalized report expected in August and a vote in October. Just give us till then. And I don't know if you can tell me that or not at this meeting, or maybe you can tell me how I can go about getting, before I start writing letters, I'd like to help, not hurt.
Mr. Schaller, thank you for your offer to help. Just the way we do public comment is we let you do all that you want to say, and then we respond to the questions we can.
Okay, thank you.
After your time. Do you have any other comments that you'd like to make at this time? We'll respond to your questions in just a minute.
No, that's it. Thank you.
Mr. Blesky.
Madam President, if I could get if the speaker would like, I can get with him, get his phone number. Our phone number at the CSD2, I'll give that to you. But yeah, we can, if we break here or something, I'll be more than happy to kind of go over any questions you'd have.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. Mr. Director Cecilia?
Well, I guess we could say, I mean, right now, any communication with agencies is coming from the citizens is a help, I think. We've certainly would love to have them back off and give us room to breathe and maybe some dollars to operate with, too. But there's a real strong move out there to make sure that we fail. And it's coming from within this town. And when the agencies have those people lobbying, too, they need to hear from the people who want us to succeed. So write those letters. Do everything you can in that regard.
Keto, we're back on the air. We had a little power outage there. So, Mr. Blesky, you were talking. You're done?
I'm pretty much done, but we're all set.
He was talking for a half hour, but nobody knew. Okay, we're going on. We would like to open any questions from the board first. I'd like to open this up to public comment to discuss this item. And it is a resolution to borrow from the Water and Solid Waste Funds to fund wastewater project activities. Mr. Payne.
Good evening, board, staff, people at home and here. I'm Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos, and I'm against everything except borrowing money. I think that's a good idea. Mr. Buell once told us that we were $2 million in debt before they sold the bonds. So I've heard since that all got paid back with interest. How much interest are you going to pay us? Anyway... You know, you got to do what you got to do to operate.
Constructed and reconfigured to become healthy, vibrant percolation ponds. Also, that area not only needs to be revitalized, but it is the hotspot for MTBE that this money was aimed toward. MTBE was a particularly difficult situation. Most people don't know what MTB really is. There was an area of litigation where the class action suits were threatening the oil companies because the people who were getting sick from the MTBE were basically the people who lived in poor neighborhoods because that's where all the refineries were. And when the stuff comes out of a refinery, it's hot. That's why it's in the air. But when it cools down, it comes back down, and it was coming down in the poor neighborhoods. So they needed something to keep that stuff aloft long enough to make it go into the rich neighborhoods and come down, effectively rendering those class action suits moot. That chemical that kept it aloft longer was MTBE. And MTBE is a menace. I think that... We need to find a different funding mechanism than MTBE money. I thank you for this opportunity to address you. I also would like to go out by mentioning that the water keeper, Gordon Hensley, who is supposed to be cleaning up the water, has now caused us to be in this sticky predicament of not having money and maybe having to go and stop cleaning up things that are dangerous like MTBE. You know, this coupled with dumping stuff into steelhead streams, I think we need a new waterkeeper for the central coast of California. I thank you for this opportunity to address you.
Thank you. Okay. Next speaker, please. Mr. Dugan.
Dave Dugan, Los Osos. I don't believe this has been talked about in the Water Committee yet. This is probably one item that could probably, I mean, if they need their money right now, or they just don't know Los Osos in our situation. These people that are doing the studies ought to realize this, that they may have to wait a little bit or get paid a little bit at a time and not a whole chunk at one time. I don't know how you're going to distribute it, what the time scheduling is on distributing this, but waste, solid waste and the Water Committee needs to look at this too before it's done. I have no qualms about borrowing the money if it's legal. Dedicated source to paying it back. I don't know what that is. It hasn't been suggested yet. But I believe it should go in front of the committees first. I'm glad that you changed it from the fire station. It was one heck of a topic last night. But yeah, if we need it, yes. But let's run across the committees that are involved in this first so at least we can have a good look at what's going on and have it explained to us how it's going to be paid back, not just for the finance committee, but the committees that that this has purview over, solid waste and the water committee. That's all I got to say about that. Thanks.
Thank you.
Now, all of that is very convoluted, and it's easier to explain probably in written form than in testimony, but essentially, what we're doing is taking money, is my understanding, taking money and borrowing it from a fund that is a trust fund in case it needs to be cleaned up. It's not actively being used for that purpose, it's my understanding. the problem with the money that's frozen is that it's important for it to stay frozen if there is going to be a dissolution. If it's free and clear for you to spend it and to use it for a new project, then the dissolution will fail. So it's very important to keep that tied up. And it's very important for every taxpayer to know that there's a possibility to settle claims, to work out agreements, to repay the loan and restructure our spending. And all of this is possible. And all of that benefits the taxpayer. The taxpayers are who you are sworn to protect and serve. And you're doing that. You're doing that by trying to move forward with the wastewater project by borrowing money. And what I find really disconcerting is that there is nothing in it for the dissolutionists to take up your offers of coming together and singing Kumbaya. Quite frankly, they just don't give a damn. The more you suffer, the more they succeed. And even though LAFCO says that politics aren't a justification for dissolution, it's very unfortunate that the path of destruction is being paved for this community by a few sore losers. And I just encourage you to keep moving forward and keep being creative and possibly even sell that last piece of the bond. And let's get moving and get this successful. And just got to keep fighting. It's unfortunate that we can't find the incentive to get the taxpayers' watch to put down their weapons. We'll keep looking, though. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Owen?
Lindy Owen, Prohibition Zone. As I recall, the beginnings of our first CSD 7.5 years ago, that was basically how they got started, was borrowing money from the different funds that were available to borrow from there, and they were paid back over time. And I would think that I think we need to work on the most frugal of methods of you know, how we spend the money, but there are certain things that have to get done in order to get this. I mean, we have projects that we have to work on to get this alternative sewer plant out there, and I think the costs we do have to get the money from someplace. I wonder if there's any way of a brief explanation of what would happen with our properties. They were bought with bond money, the Tri-W and all the other outlying areas, Broderson. I don't know if the community, I don't quite understand, and I don't know if you understand yet the ramifications of what it will take to sell those properties to put money back in.
Remarks by saying my name is Al Barrow, and I am a potential CDO like anybody in the Prohibition Zone. I would also like to say that the amount of money that you're looking at was an $800,000 MTBE settlement, because the MTB had gone into our water well plumes and inhibited us from pumping water, I think the 10th Street well. And of that money, about 37.5% went to legal fees. So when people talk about how much legal fees the district is paying, let's put it in perspective and look into the past, and we see that probably we paid maybe $1 million to our legal counsel, then John Seitz, over that period of time, and other monies for other lawsuits. So I just wanted to say that. And I want to talk a little bit about borrowing. Something I don't like to do. I borrow every month, but I pay it back every month. Typically, in government, when you borrow, you earmark the fund you borrow it from with a debt to that fund. And correct me if I'm wrong, manager, you earmark that fund. I don't know if you can hear me now, but I'm desperately trying to hear. In other words, the borrowing is not just a frivolous idea that you're just going to borrow this and you're just going to pay this consulting fee. You're obligated to pay that fund back somehow. And I think in this case is there's going to be a revenue stream created by some other source of revenue to pay that back. And I think the district has a plan for that. And I think that if the public understood that plan, they'd be more comfortable with it. A similar thing happened, as mentioned before. Funds were borrowed during the lawsuit against the assessment district for 2 years. They borrowed from all kinds of different funds, and they made a little notice that we owe you this money. And then when they got the money, they paid it back. So this is a regular, normal way of doing business. Thank you.
Thank you. Who else would like to speak on this item? Mr. Sparks?
A couple things. It's kind of ironic. The old board was roundly criticized by a number of people for borrowing from other funds. Some distinctions here. You're going to transfer money between funds to wastewater. At the same time, you're stating that the Superior Court has frozen the district's wastewater fund. So the question is, as soon as you transfer it, does it become frozen? Second thing, I think, and the other thing is maybe you can clarify that statement about the Superior Court freezing the district's wastewater funds. Did he freeze the wastewater funds? Did he freeze the SRF or any proceeds from the SRF? I thought I had read in the ruling that, and I could be wrong, that he froze certain funds except for essential functions. And so maybe you can clarify that. Thanks.
Mr. Sparks, Ms. Biggs or Mr. Bush?
Because we have some amounts laying around, and whether we can touch them or not, and we're doing our utmost to make sure we have all our I's dotted and T's crossed if we recommend certain fund transfers or any financing right now. What we've done with the funds is they'll be moved into a separate account called Wastewater 2. We have done nothing since the date of Judge Piquet's action to do anything with those accounts, the checking account and the trust account, and the Whitaker escrow account. Those were not specifically identified. It was a general ruling. That's been on our goodwill. However, on the other hand, we have not gotten our audit. And I think if the judge would have, we had tax time, and it's very understandable. We sure could use his help in expediting that right now, that audit. I think that they will be impressed with what they find and what we know and how those funds are characterized. So it's going into a separate account, and no, it will not become tainted as frozen money.
Ms. Biggs, anything to add?
Okay, I would only indicate that the funds that were frozen were funds where the SRF loan monies were commingled, basically with the bond proceeds, and it is only that fund that is frozen.
Yes, thank you. Who else would like to speak on this item? The borrowing? I'm closing the public comment on this item, bringing it back to the board. Mr. Buskey, did you have anything back to the board? Any questions or comments, Director Tacker?
I just wanted to quickly talk about the MTBE. Our wells were not affected. Cal City's wells were, well, was. And my recollection, it was Hano's estate and not Chevron, the big corporation, that paid these this settlement. And it was a settlement for $800,000, and my recollection is that $300,000 of those $800,000 went to the legal team. So history repeats itself. The prior board had to borrow money to get a project up and running, and that's what they've left our hands tied and that we have to do too. We did get a computer model of that area of the basin. So I'm looking forward to looking at how the water moves over there over on 10th and Los Olivos. And then you can see the continued monitoring goes on there in the Bonds parking lot. There's sort of capped off little monitoring wells, and then there's that little fenced off area with the little fan deal. So that's actually going to go on for years, that operation and monitoring of MTBE. The district passed a resolution, I believe it was in 2004-5, when Lisa and I kind of first were on the board, that the MTBE trust fund be used specifically for clean water. That's a pretty broad clean water. First move towards clean water is the sewer in Los Osos. It's going to be the best for Los Osos. So we need these monies to implement our agreements with
out there, and it's being managed, it's being watched. So it's something that the district has a handle on and has had for the last couple of years. Thank you.
Any other comments? Director Sini?
It's unfortunate, excuse me, that Mr. Boykin and Mr. Milanes aren't here tonight, maybe to get some input from them about potential effects on solid waste and water ops operations from this action, but I guess we'll have to rely on staff report that we've got, and we've got the board liaisons of those committees here, and if they're comfortable with it, then I am too, except for the fact that this was such a hot-button issue before. We did roundly criticize the old board for doing this kind of thing. There is one difference, I think, in that the fire fund seemed to get borrowed from heavily in the past, and there was that issue about keeping the taxes high to support the large reserve in that fund so that it could be tapped. And we're certainly not doing that. We fought to keep the reserves down to the minimum levels necessary. We're trying to be prudent, but the critical thing right now for the survival of this district is to keep moving ahead with a wastewater project. If we don't do that, we're dissolved. We're not demonstrating to the regional board that we're trying to make progress. We're dead in the water. No pun intended. So I don't see where we have a choice.
Director Sennett?
I think approving this this fund transfer is consistent with our goal to complete a project, and therefore I'm going to strongly approve of it. Thank you.
And I really don't have anything to add. I do have to. I want to support the motion because we have to keep moving. And I don't like to borrow the funds either, but I see it as a necessity right now. And I did want to mention one other thing. Mr. Barrow reminded me that there was a settlement for the MTBE fund where our attorneys made a sum of money. And I was on the board when that decision was made. And that board didn't disclose those kind of settlements. We're taking a lot of heat for disclosing and being public about the settlements that occur now. That's the difference. That settlement did occur. I also remember it being around $300,000. I also remember it not being a public disclosed amount. And that's the difference. And I, you know, like I said, we're taking heat from the public, our supporters and our opposers, but we are disclosing. And that's important to me. So I'm ready for a motion and a vote.
I'll make the motion that we approve this resolution to borrow from the District Solid Waste and Water Fund to further progress the project.
Have a second?
I'll second that motion.
Okay. Any further discussion, questions, comments? Okay. I just have one, and I don't know if this is appropriate. Just tell me if it's not or it is. We have our table of lawsuits. We know things are in motion. We know
maybe somehow we pay out of that to pay the reserves down from these loans, or if we have another funding mechanism. There's a number of things we have to look at, and we just don't have the level of information to give you a time estimate on what those would bring us, what advantages.
Thank you. Mr. Director Cecilia?
I thought I remembered a couple weeks ago the Finance Committee reporting that they had uncovered $800,000, something like that, when combing through different accounts, and there was great joy and jubilation about that. And that's what we were going to use to move forward with the wastewater project. And I'm wondering, was that a false finding, or why are we borrowing now?
Good question. Yes and no. I love those yes and no answers.
Just a second. I can't hear. Is it the door or is it the back? Just a second. Thanks, you guys. Okay.
It's one of those yes and no ones, typical of a general manager, huh? What happened is we did find the $801,000 in the LAIF, and when we did the review over it, it seemed on its face that those funds could be characterized all as wastewater funds. When we went back and looked at the history after discussing it among staff members, a question arose after we had discovered the funding. And a conservative approach is to assume that some of those funds are the deposits from other reserves. Although the vast majority were the state, were the bond amounts. What we're doing here is not, that was on the cash side. That's what's in the bank. That's what we found in the bank. What we're doing tonight is to assure that our accounting isn't radically changed, that we're doing on the accounting side the necessary actions to track the funds on the accounting side so that there is a correlation to any potential commingling of reserves from the various funds in the LAF on the cash side. So this essentially makes sure that we've covered both sides. If we have any doubts about the LAIF, which we do now, this clarifies it.
So you're telling me that the $801,000, it's there in the checking account, but we don't know from which funds it came, commingled
right.
Possibly. We were going to be cautious because maybe some of that was something frozen by the judge?
No, none of that was frozen by the judge. All of that was clearly either bond reserve,
okay,
bond generated, or possibly fire department reserve deposit.
But we haven't ferreted that out, which parts came from where, so we may be if we use that, we're going to be maybe using monies and we're not sure which accounts they're from. And
it might, we might hit a series of dollars that are a different color. This is the conservative way to make sure that we, at least on the accounting side, account for it until we can really get that audit.
Next item is item 9. Mr. Bleski?
A lot of good questions on this one this evening. Essentially, what we're looking to do is to solicit proposals to firms to assist us with for consideration of hiring one of them to help us go through the process of hiring a permanent general manager. Am I on item 9? I'm on item 10, aren't I? It's been a long day.
Item 9 is the ASM.
ASM.
I guess you've got to pardon me. It's been a long day since 5 this morning.
Long week.
Boy, double my work right here. As you know, we have a recent vacancy and in the area of our administrative services manager, and staff has gone out, as the staff report says, under the contract with Wildan. We could have hired someone with the qualifications from Wildan, and John Knight down at Wildan and the staff at Wildan did locate some candidates. And when we got to talking about it, because of the situation, the financial situation with the district, you can see in the staff report that the hourly rates for that would have been really excessive considering our financial situation. So what happened is working with through Wildan, we basically contacted the candidates and came to a decision that it's more beneficial to the district financially to hire a temporary administrative services manager as a contract employee for a limited duration under contract. It saves quite a bit of money. Staff also went out and did a informal salary survey. And as you can see from the documents, a lot of the salaries vary widely. But if I may, I can walk you through that if you have any questions on it, and because I have some opinions. But the position description that best fits our administrative services manager is I want to make sure I get this right because it's either county or city of San Luis. I'm sure it's the city of San Luis Obispo, but that's actually not on the handout. The position description that's reflected here is not the finance director for the city of San Luis Obispo. That's actually the administrative services manager for the Department of Public Works. So, and when you read the position description, it really parallels all the responsibilities that our administrative services manager has. And you can see the figures from the exhibit, which is attachment number 3. The first set of calculations was essentially those that provide services similar with the population that you're looking at. So the one comment that's been made is that the wages in San Luis Obispo County are changing because of the economic situation and the cost of living in the area and the difficulty in attracting a wide variety, you know, for agencies and companies to attract qualified people to the area because of the expense. There's been a lot of articles in the newspaper to the same effect. So where does that leave us? I negotiated with the candidate an equivalent annual salary of $72,000 a year, which is in that effective range. It's kind of in the low middle if in both situations. And we offset part of that because the candidate is retired with the portion of the health benefits. Also in the contract, there's no entitlement to severance pay, and that way, if there's not I think it's going to be a good fit. But if there's not, then our exposure is minimum, the way it should have been. You can read the candidate's qualifications. And with that, I will be more than happy to answer your questions you have. This is a tough one, but we sure could use the help.
Okay. Any questions from the board at this time? Let's hear from the public. I have just one quick question before they come up. Was your salary survey and these numbers inclusive or exclusive of benefits?
Those numbers do not include benefits. And what's interesting is when you look at some of the very high paid, they're not doing things like HR. They're not responsible for that. I know that we have help doing that, but they don't even have the responsibility. That falls under a different department. Pretty interesting.
Okay, and then the other question I had was about that does not include benefits in these numbers, and approximately benefits are 30%? Is that approximate, usually? Is that what you find? 40%. Benefit packages?
I think a range is about 30 to 40% with between the PERS, which we're required to pay. We looked into that because even the candidate wasn't interested if we could convert that to an offset for the salary, but we have to do it. So,
when you say offset for the salary, I mean, explain that to me in plain English, please.
Essentially, you've budgeted a pot of money, $590 for health benefits, and I'm just going to use the health benefits. Well, this candidate only wanted dental and vision because through her retirement, she has health. So we agreed that we would apply the remainder of that $590 after taking out the benefits that she desired and roll that into her salary. So your budgeting amount kind of goes down by that amount.
Okay. That was where I was getting lost, whether that amount you're calling the offset was included in the $36,000 or if it was in addition to the $36,000.
No, it's included in the hourly wage.
Thank you.
Yes.
I had that same question because it says plus benefits in your staff report.
And in the, I'll clarify, and in the contract it lists those benefits.
Dollars to get somebody to come in for 6 months and fix us up, that's kind of a gift in essence. So I have to stand in favor of this. I think this is a really good idea. And it also makes our district stronger. And that's what we really need, is to be a strong district and to show the other districts, to show LAFCO that we are a strong district and that we're managing smartly and that we can do better than the county or anybody else at managing our own affairs. So I stand in favor of this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Barrow. Mr. Dugan.
Dave Dugan, Los Osos. When I first looked at this, I said, too much. But what do I know? I look at her qualifications and I go, we need this person. She's well-rounded and in all the right places. I haven't met her yet either. It's a six-month period, I believe, that you're looking at. So, and since there's no severance, that's even better. But I believe this person probably knows full well what they're getting into and how much they're really needed. And I highly approve this way that you're doing this with the 6 months as a probationary period, I believe, also. So there's no claims if something happens between in and there, which is very smart. So, yes, I really highly approve of this, and we really need it, and Dan needs a break. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else like to speak on this item? Closing public comment, bringing it back to the board. Any other additional questions or comments? Could I have a motion, please?
I move that we approve the hiring of a temporary administrative services manager as outlined in the contract provided by staff.
Thank you. Have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any other further discussion, questions, comments? Okay, Mrs. Vega, ready for a vote.
Director Tacker?
Yes.
Vice President Fischer?
Yes.
Director Sasanya?
Yes.
Director Stennett?
Yes.
President Schicker?
Yes. Thank you all for your comments, and thank you for the staff report and recommendation. All right, we're going on to general public comment. That's great. Am I right? Okay. This is general public comment. You can speak on any item that wasn't on the agenda. Anything you'd like to speak about? Mr. Taylor.
George Taylor, Los Osos. I'm going to come way, way down after all this highfalutin talk about money and all these important things. I'm going to talk about something that is very important to everybody that lives in Los Osos. It's come to my attention. I've been doing a lot of driving around in Los Osos the last couple of weeks. And there are just a... Excuse me.
I'm sorry, just a second. Everybody in the back, the echoing is pretty bad. So let's just wait a sec. Gentlemen? Could we go outside? Gentlemen, please. Outside, if you want to...
Are in dire need of... They're in great peril, because if at any time that they dial 911 and they do not have house numbers on their house, how in the world is a paramedic team going to find their place by just a rough description? And like I say, I've been doing a lot of driving around the neighborhood recently, and I was appalled at the number that do not have numbers. We're not talking about a large outlay of money. In other words, it's only a few dollars to put three or four 4-inch numbers on your house in a very conspicuous place. In other words, someplace along over your garage door, or alongside of your garage door, someplace where it is highly visible. If you try to put it by your front door, you've got trees, you've got bushes, and everything else that will not allow it to be seen. But if you put it near your garage door, they pull up there and they see it, and you're going to save somebody's life. It's probably one of your kids. It's probably your mother. And so I can't impress you enough that we need to all take a look at our place and see that we have very contrasting numbers, so that the paramedics can find it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor. Director Sennett?
I'd like to add that not having a number on the front of your house is also not an effective way to avoid a CDO.
And your pizza will be cold by the time they find you.
Okay, Mrs. Vega, Mr. Barrow is going to do a presentation that lasts approximately 4 minutes, so we're going to allow that, and you don't have to put the timer on. And Mr. Lloyd, are you ready? All right. Okay.
Yes, thank you. What we're going to do tonight is just show a sustainable, affordable way of pre-treating our septic effluent before it's collected by the step collection system. And while we're waiting for the sewer hookups, we can begin cleanup right away. This is on the ABG Piranha. Dr. Wickham was kind enough to come down and testify against his case, in the sense that he's inspecting the septic tank, as you can see. And when he came down and testified, he testified on behalf of the community that the pumping of the septic tanks would not clean up like the water board has asked to be done. He's testing water right now. He's finding out what the beginning samples are before the tank was pumped, and then the tank will be pumped, and he'll install the Piranha. The cost of the system is about one-tenth of the previous sewer cost over a 20-year life cycle. What this system is doing is going to reduce the biological oxygen demand Right there, we're installing risers so that it makes it easy access for the septic management program to come in and look into each of these tanks and see what's going on and give tests and see if it's operating properly. This system is going to reduce the typical TSS, total suspended solids, and BOD by quite a bit. It reduces it from 375 milligrams per liter down to 20 milligrams per liter, which is secondary treatment. And that's a 95% reduction in the tank, as you can see, typically for the septic system. So now they're filling it back up with water. These don't always have to be pumped all the way out, but you should pump the solids down to a reasonable amount. If it's been pumped in the last 2 or 3 years, you don't need to pump it. So they add the electric, and they inspect the tank, and then they have a yearly inspection, which is made easy by the riser, because all you have to do is take 6 bolts off and inspect the tank. You put a stick down there with a mirror and a light, and there goes the piranha into the septic tank being installed. And it's a very low impact on the property. As you'll see at the end of this, there's not much to be seen after it's been installed. And so it does a lot of the treatment of that the wastewater system would have to do anyway. And the effluent can be used to recycle for drip irrigation on site, so you don't even have to collect it. You can just drip it into subsurface irrigation and reduce the pumping, which is about 50% of the water used in residential use is exterior, so that could replace that on site. So what they're doing now is they're just positioning the machine so that it will function properly, and that is the bacillus that goes in once a year. So every year when they do the septic maintenance, they install a new thing and a new bacterial bag and go ahead, and that's what it looks like when it's done. It's nice and clean and low impact. And we thank Dr. Wickham. And if the district can come up with the $500 to get him down here again, he'll do some more wonderful testimony in the CDOs for us. So I thank you all.
Thank you for that presentation. Director Sassini?
Al, I have a question. I believe that you and Dr. Wickham have been talking with Howard Kolb at the Water Board.
Howard Kolb is planning on, he's writing a letter. I talked to planning today. We were down having a meeting, or I was having a meeting with Barry Toll, who is a septic expert for the county.
Okay. Have you furnished the technical specifications to Howard yet? I guess this came up yesterday at our staff meeting with Mr. Packard, and they were interested in the total suspended solids that are affiliated with the operation of a piranha. And you know, we impressed upon them that part of the goal of the piranha is to revitalize leach fields and keep them operating properly, and so you're not overloading them with TSS, but they wanted some technical data on what to expect.
Actually, we sent them 3 studies, one from the EPA Buzzards Bay, which we brought up in the testimony at the first hearing, and that was Massachusetts Environmental Health in conjunction with the US EPA did a study, and they showed 20 milligrams per liter.
When you say they, you furnished it to them?
Well, the organization, the Massachusetts organization, Buzzard Bay, was the one that organized it, but it was...
I meant, who did you furnish it to? You said you furnished all this data to...
Okay, it went to Lori Oakham.
Okay.
It went to each one of the board members.
Okay.
And Howard had a copy in his hand the date of the hearing. Okay. He had the, if he doesn't know where they are, then we'll be happy to email him if you'll provide me his email, the electronic copies.
I'll remind him he had his hands on them at one time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Barrow. Any
You're
other
welcome.
Questions? Director Sennett? Mr. Buskey, did you have
couple of things on that is that I don't recall some of those conversations, but it was our intent. I certainly appreciate that as much data as we can get out to the regional board, because they really have shown an interest in this, especially their younger staff members. They get pumped up over this stuff. This is what their generation is bringing forward. What our intent is to give them a complete report of results. I don't want to piecemeal in TSS and BOD, nitrate reduction, and generally. But I have no problem in saying this publicly, as we did get our preliminary results back, and I think I've brought this up before, but on the total coliforms, we already have reached a two-log reduction. The septic tank is operating at least at coliforms. It went from over, you know, millions of parts down to a 1,600 on the low end to 16,000. That's a considerable reduction in a very short period of time. The school's out still on the leach field, and we have the lysimeters in, and we're waiting for those results. And when we get all that in, we'll address this to regional in a very concise and complete way. But it's moving where it should, and when we get the final data, then I told the firemen that after we get the final data for both the leach field and then switch over to the leach pit, then we'll install that subterranean
sandbox.
The sandbox, so they can have a green horseshoe pit.
Mr. Blesky, just for the benefit of the public, the coliforms and lysimeters.
Coliforms are, you know, basically your bacteria and bad bugs and things that'll make you sick, you know, E. coli. We've probably read a lot about that in food. It's a big concern, very dangerous. And a lysimeter is a tube that is placed into the ground with a semi-porous ceramic tip. And it's a sampling point. So it's placed in such a position that we can sample at various depths underneath the leach fields. You put a vacuum pump on it, and you can draw a sample that represents the leachate. And then you test that sample.
These
could be installed even at individuals' homes and get those types of samples.
I just wanted to make sure the public knew that we were testing the piranha to get data and to assist others in distributing this data and researching, actually getting results. Mr. Barrett, you have something to add?
Well, yes, we have a second site where I live, a duplex, and my landlord just signed an agreement to install a piranha, and we went down to the planning today, and the senior planner said it cost $127 for the permit, and we'll take care of that. But if it's part of the sewer, there wouldn't be.
We would like it sold to the county for parks as opposed to the highest bidder for custom homes or whatever. So as legal staff said, it's your prerogative. So I will just leave that there. And I'd like one question. Have the board granted authority to the negotiator to negotiate price and purchase? That question. I do have another concern, and that has to kind of do with the cease and desist orders, and that's right now we got pumping, but in 2010, the water board's threatening us with not using our toilets. And I have no idea where that can lead to, but it's still there. And the thing is, if we back off our schedule, if we give ourselves 2 years to build the plant and put in the lateral system, give ourselves 6 months to put it out to bid and get contracts, and then this year, in August, we're going to get a contract for an engineer to design the plant, and you give them 6 months for that. So if you back that off, this gives us, if you go to the end of 2010, it gives us about 1 year to go through the permitting stage, to go through all the people we have to get permits from, Army Corps, Coastal Commission, Fish and Game, all those people, if it's the end of 2010. If it's not the end of 2010, the beginning of 2010, we have no time to do the permitting stage. So it would be great if talks were started right now as to what will happen in 2010 when they say we can't use our sewer, or can't use our toilets at all. Because as a timeline, I don't see how we can make 2010 with where we're going. So it's another issue with the regional board and the current track that we're on. I don't see how we can get the current plant built by 2010. And again, the permitting stage is the big unknown those other agencies that have a say in what we do. And it just looks like this pumping could just be minor compared to what's coming up. So anyway, something to consider, and if you can answer my question about the authority granted to the negotiator, that'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you. Mrs. Biggs?
Yes. The discussions in closed session with regard to real property negotiations are confidential, and we're not going to be reporting out specific directions given or anything like that. They are confidential, and they're intended to be that way, and that's how they're going to be.
Right, and you can refer to that closed session agenda to see that item listed there. Director Tacker?
Mr. Baltimore, your comment about the CDOs and the 2010 date, remember that the CDOs are proposed, and the recommendation is coming from the prosecution team. So until it's all said and done, we will be asking for a time schedule order for our project. And we've been asking for a revised time schedule order, and I think the district, the prior board even filed a petition with the state arguing that the time schedule order that they were under was too strict. So it's important that we finally come to a table with the water board and have a timeline that makes sense so that we can have a comprehensive project that addresses all our needs. And I
had a meeting, Mr. Baltimore, with the water board yesterday, Harvey Packard, and I actually brought this same issue up with him yesterday. I was mentioning the fact that the 2010 date was being discussed without any justification for it at this point. There hasn't been a critical path method timeline developed to determine how long it will really take to get this project constructed in the ground. So far, it's been informal in a way. So I expressed my concern about that yesterday. I said the same things basically that you just said in generalities, and that we were concerned about that, and we needed to strategize a way to get from today to end of construction complete and do it in a way that the community is on board and we're hitting all the milestones and the bases the way we need to hit it to have a successful outcome. So that the dialogue has started. You bet.
Who else would like to speak this evening? Mr. Alibi?
All right, Chris Alibi, Los Osos. Since the election season is upon us, I think it would be a good idea to tell the public, particularly in this forum, in this building, what's allowed in the way of electioneering. Can they table inside and or outside? I know we're even wearing these buttons, but are placards acceptable? Can people pass out literature favoring one candidate or the other? It might be a good time to do that.
Thank you. Mrs. Biggs, maybe we can work that out for next time. We've had issues in the past about it. So we'll come up with some guidelines, Mr. Alibi. Good idea. Okay, Mr. Dugan?
Dave Dugan, Los Osos. First of all, I'd like to thank Al for the thousands and thousands of hours he's put into this process and the years and years that he's done, not just this Los Osos thing, but other things that are involved with wastewater and other things he's also involved in with low-income housing and stuff too, but specifically this. And now all of his work is coming together, and he's being justified, he's being proven that all the things he's been talking about were correct. And I'd really like to thank him for all the hours and time and headaches and blood, sweat, and tears he's put into this. This time schedule, 2010, the CDOs, as you said, it was just the suggested from the staff. This is not what the regional board has said. If you look at the past history, there's always been extensions for works in progress, whether it's been getting together all of the studies, for whether or not it's been getting together to design, and all the past boards, even the county, kept asking for extensions, and they got them. This board shouldn't be treated any differently once they have this process rolling, which is seems slow, but like an avalanche, it slowly will pick up speed and start moving. There is no participation from your opposition. That's like 1%. They're not participating because they don't want to give you, this board, legitimate, does not decide dissolution. They should realize that. In fact, it may not even be considered. It may not even be relevant and be taken as any type of consideration. And one last thing is, when I asked earlier for we should take certain things to the committees, and I was really serious, and you chose not to. Well, that's your choice. But as I remember, the last board dissolved committees because they were hearing what they didn't want to hear from people. And I hope this isn't going to be a continuation. I hope we do bring these things to committee more often. And I know there's some kind of need to hurry up and go, but sometimes the hurrier you go, the behinder you get. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dugan. Mr. Swanson?
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. Just a comment on the viewpoint by Ms. Albright. You know, many of the things that she said maybe had some credibility, but the line in there that bothered me and just threw the whole thing out was that, well, there's only about 20 people that go to the meetings, and most of them are renters. What does that mean? That they don't mean anything to this community? And I bet you, well, it's kind of thinned out now, but I bet you 95% of the people that were here are all property owners. And I recall back when the petitions were given to the now recalled board members, in one of the interviews that was Gordon, was on in the press, printed press, and also on TV, is that, well, if that's what the community wants to do, then I'm fine with it. That's totally not what he's acting like now, so that's a bunch of BS. just want to remind you that LOCAC is having an election on May 20th. It's going to be Saturday. It's going to be at the Little Schoolhouse. There's also going to be absentee ballots available. They'll be at Rouse and Vaughn's for a short period of time, I think about 3 or 4 hours a day. There's going to be posters out about this, so I want to make sure everybody votes. Vote for me. I want to continue my service with LOCAC. I've enjoyed it. I've learned a lot. It's real important, especially I'm in District 4, which is everything west of Broderson, and is that if, God forbid, the CSD is dissolved, LOCAC is our only local voice left in Los Osos. So it's real important. So get out there and vote. The one thing about the property sale, maybe you can clarify that doesn't the county, when they sent the letter, that even if there is an offer on the table by some other buyer, that they still have a right of first refusal? No.
Mrs. Biggs?
Well, the county has sent a letter, but that is not correct, so it's not of concern.
Dr. Shasanian?
Mr. Alibi, you saw that one coming, didn't you? The sign and everything.
$3.60 a gallon. I'm not sure what mileage these pumping trucks get. I'll conservatively estimate 4 to 7 miles a gallon. But littering our streets with noise and air pollution and having these trucks burn gas and pollute our air from Los Osos to Santa Maria is sickening. I can't believe an agency whose mission is to prevent pollution would even consider such a thing. The thought that a water quality board would engage in this type of action is obscene. I like to eat at Sylvester's Hamburger. Sylvester's has nothing to worry about because their hamburgers are my heroin. But I went in a few weeks ago to get my regular order. It was $2 more than I usually pay. I asked if they'd raised their prices lately, and she said, well, the drivers are charging the distributors more, the distributors are charging us more, so we have to charge you more. I really don't mind paying more to drive, but when they start messing with my hamburgers, I got a problem with it. I've decided that I have to give up drinking, gambling, or driving, so starting tomorrow, I'm riding my bike to work. The point I'm trying to make is that we do have to conserve water. We have to conserve and protect all our natural and environmental resources. These resources are gifts from God, gifts we need to conserve and preserve, respect and protect. The number one job of government is to protect and defend the people. The job of our Water Quality Board is to protect our water. So what does our Water Board do? They devise a plan that would result in a gross and abusive waste of fuel, a plan that increases air pollution, a plan that actually makes our water pollution and water quality worse, a plan that will pump the money out of my wallet and the equity out of my home. When I think that it's our Water Board that's engaged in this gross, abusive act of waste and pollution, I cannot decide if I want to scream or vomit. It has become so clear to me that the CDOs are not a water quality action. The CDOs are a political action. The dissolution movement is not a clean water action. The dissolution movement is a political action. The Tri-W project was not about cleaning our water. It was about development. On September 27th, the citizens of Los Osos voted. We did not vote against a sewer project. We voted to solve our problems, not create more problems or make existing problems worse. On September 27th, we, the people of Los Osos, voted to conserve, protect, and clean our water. I thank you for the time.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Ms. Taylor?
Good evening. My name is Gwen Taylor, and I would like to piggyback on what Mr. Taylor said regarding putting numbers on your residents. This is not only your residents, but there are numerous, and I repeat, numerous fences that are being developed that are on the property lines that are solid fences that you cannot see into the residents. Therefore, you're going to have to put the sign numbers on the fences so that the fire department is able to see the numbers. If you do not have them on the fences but have them on your homes, there is no way that they are going to be able to see it, and you are going to be the ones that are going to suffer. It's going to be very inexpensive in comparison to what might happen if a fire or someone is hurt inside that fence.
As far as a map, I would like to point out that whoever designed the map, you probably don't want to separate a $56,979 median from a $56,208 median with different colors, because they're basically the same value. But looking at the broader map, definitely there is an issue as far as the fact that we really can't afford a sewer at the price that was initially given to us. We certainly can't afford pumping. But more importantly than whether individuals can afford a pumping schedule of that takes place six times a year, I don't believe that the environment can afford. What will happen is my neighbor just recently told me that she had her septic tank pumped after 7 years, and they told her it really didn't need pumping. Once they were done, they said it really didn't need pumping. It was fine and didn't need to have been pumped. However, if you go into these plastic containers that have been buried in a backyard for 30 years, and you increase the pumping rate to many times what they were designed to do over their lifetime, what's going to happen is that the vibrations of the pumping are going, in a certain percentage of cases, are going to physically destroy those pumps. That's my impression. I've studied some material science, I know some biology, and I'm very concerned. So if I was to address Dick Sargent is not here tonight. I wish he would come. I believe there are emails that go out that suggest to people not to come, not to participate. Dick, the reason that the bimonthly pumping was stopped was entirely due to the actions of this CSD and its existence. If you pump your tank at the rate the Water Board initially suggested, most likely it will shatter and leak and will devastate, and at that point it will truly contaminate the bay. So there's one more reason, let's call it reason number 10, not to agree to pump out your tanks. It'll void their warranty. I believe my time's up. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Who else would like to speak? Ms. Owen.
Lindy Owen, Prohibition Zone. I wanted to address some letters to the editor that I have seen and an argument that continues coming forward from the community that seem to be upset that we are not building a monster sewer in the middle of town. But what they continue addressing is the loss of the state revolving fund loan and the fact that now we're looking at, and then they do all the fine mathematics to show that we are now going to have to pay 5.5% for what I think what they don't understand is we're not doing the same project. We're not building the mega sewer that was never meant to be built in this town. We started out with a CSD based on an alternative sewer, trying to go against what the county was giving us, which was a mega sewer. This town does not need that kind of a sewer, and what you are working so hard to do is to get past the political game here, sustainable energy cost that will be one-tenth or gosh knows how small it could be if depending on how high fuel costs go. So I wish those people would stop comparing apples to oranges because we're looking at a whole different design and the materials alone are so much less. So I keep seeing it and I keep wondering who's putting out that bad information. I wish they'd stop. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Payne, would you like to speak?
Good evening again. I hadn't really thought of anything exactly to say. I do realize that I represent a lot of people in this community. Again, today a gentleman came up to me and we spent 5 minutes or more speaking about this problem. And so that's just one more person. The thing that I found when I started researching the pumping, of course, turned out to be very obviously absurd with the paper that I produced from Orenco's vice president, or president, I don't know, Mr. T.R. Bounds. Anyway, that was a 14-page paper. And most of what needed to be said was on the first page. Anyway, the biggest problem is the tests have all been skewed to show that we're putting nitrates in the groundwater. I don't know what Sora Marks thought she was telling us when she said the water ran sideways and they didn't get an accurate judgment of what the leachate was with the lysimeter. Even if some of the water went sideways, I'm sure some of it went down, and what they pulled out with the lysimeter was actually leachate with less nitrates than the groundwater beneath it, which brings me back to the fact that we're diluting the groundwater if we got more than 6 foot of unsaturated sand between us and the leach field and the groundwater. Which brings us back to the problems that the designed plant was. It gave us three problems that we don't have, and one of them was 800,000 gallons of water in one spot where we got it spread out all over the village without any danger of liquefaction. The other thing was it made hazardous waste for sewage where our energy-free primary treatment in a septic tank reduces the solids by 80%. Mr. Highland wouldn't tell me what percent we're out. Oh, this happens to me every time.
You're electric. You're electric. You've got lots of energy zooming through.
You mean I was shouting too loud in the mic? Oh, sorry about that. But I got deaf using it.
On the CDOs, I hope people that do have the CDOs, when they go to the hearing, they explore a little further that January 2010 date. I think there's some inherent contradictions in how it was developed. I think the Water Board is again saying two things, or the staff. One, that the CSD indicated it could take 2 years. Also, that the Water Board itself at the same time doesn't believe it can take 2 years. And again, so that there's some good discussion on what is an adequate date for the property owners. Again, these CDOs are not against the district. They're against the property owners. And the time schedule order, as far as I know, hasn't been changed. And so why they're essentially giving a non-starter date for property owners when they have no control, when the district's actions are the ones that are what's taking place. And again, not to berate the Water Board, but to simply get a reasonable date that the property owners can comply with, when I think I've said this repeatedly, they're the ones that's been jerked around the most in this whole process by various agencies, including this one. And secondly, about the MTEB fund, I think it's great that the former board got us $500,000, and that attorneys, they were paid $300,000, and the district received $500,000. So within that settlement, the district got something in with that settlement that the lawyers were paid $300,000. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else want to speak? Closing public comment. Back to the board for final comments and next meeting. Who wants to go first tonight? Director Sennett's smiling. He has something to say.
But I think this is a good note to wind it up with, is that, again, with the transfer funds, we're going forward with our project. And although we're facing a lot, this is another bullet dodged, and we're here to see another day. I think our district has a very strong survival instinct. And in addition, this is what we were voted in to do, is to complete a wastewater project and keep the services of the district running. And it's an awesome job to try to complete. But we're looking forward to the future when this is behind us. And more importantly, we're looking toward a future that's sustainable. I went to the website for the Nipomo CSD a while ago, and I really flashed on their successes back in the 80s. They formed their CSD and had a sewer system up and running within, it seemed like, a couple years. And then I had a chance to go to the county building in San Luis Obispo and noticed a display they had that touted the functions of county government, its infrastructure, so that it meets our standards, not now, but in the future, well beyond 20 years. And that's a legacy that I think Ripley Pacific is trying to develop for us, and they noted that in their presentation to us, and I think back to that and think how important it is. And so with that, I'd like to just wish everybody a pleasant evening, or it's almost morning, and good night.
Director Cecilia.
I thought all along that should the Regional Water Quality Control Board choose the individual enforcement option, which they rejected July 2004 staff report, that they'd make the biggest mistake that they could. And I think they're finding that out now. For one, I think as Joe Sparks pointed out, they've already punished our community with $6 million fine against our three community-owned sites. So this is rubbing salt into the wounds. And again, they've challenged the people out here, and we've got fighters, and now people are wanting to prove they're not polluting, and the whole prohibition zone has been opened up again, that whole question. I don't think they meant to go there. I don't think they've thought this out. I just don't think they did. The original
finding that it would be just impractical to handle 5,000 different cease and desist orders should have been enough for them. And I think they're finding out that that conclusion was good in July of 2004. And I want to say that it's a privilege to march at the front, and thank you for being right with us. It could not happen without the community, and I thank you for it.
Thank you. Director Decker.
Okay, just a couple of points that were mentioned in public comment that I wanted to touch on. Mr. Baltimore raised a dollar value, and the dollar value that he raised, I think he's referring to the purchase prices of $7.65 million for the combined Broderson and Tri-W properties. That's the only figure that we know. I wanted to make a comment. Oh, Mr. Perlman, the map and the colors, those are, I didn't make those colors. That's the census tract, and it's available on the census website. So we just pulled it off and then overlaid our prohibition zone on there. But those, in those different colored blocks, not only can you find the median household income, but if you do further research, you can find out how many men live there, how many women live there, what their ages are, and, you know, it goes down to, you know, what the census asks. And so it's really quite interesting when you get into your neighborhood and see what your socioeconomic makeup is. The Taylors both mentioned large numbers on your house and couldn't agree more. And I think they were sort of making up the rules as they went along. And then time equals money. We all know that. From people taking off a day at work to having to pay staff to do the hard work to defend our community. The aggregate of time can't be measured in that room. It was incredible. Mr. Cecinia mentioned the data to Harvey Packard and some maybe lost material to one staff member or another, but I wanted to let you all know that the map that Matt Thompson was pointing to, and then he made his nitrate blob map, using the October nitrate study or monitoring data, the northernmost monitoring well had a 52 milligram per liter nitrate reading, and that was a fluke. We recognized it. Our staff took it to them during the ACL periods, wanting to show full disclosure. We weren't hiding anything. We had this fluky reading, and then our board wouldn't accept it and said, go get new readings, and they did that. Our staff did that. Cleith and Associates went out and got new readings, and there is a documented email from Rob Miller to Allison Milhausen that shows that a month later, the new nitrate reading was like 18. So there is a paper trail that will show that the water board was notified that that was a fluke and that we have remedied it and that, you know, it's back in the normal ranges for that well. So, you know, as things, maybe as you guys are communicating with the water board, we got to CC everybody, everything, or find out exactly who's in charge over there. I'm not sure how the data gets distributed amongst these different portions of the staff. Some are prosecuting us while others are trying to work with us towards a sewer project. So it's a little confusing. This was a good meeting. I think we covered a lot. I thank you all for coming and sticking it out. And conserve water and take care of your septic tank.
Okay, Vice President Fouché.
Yes, I would like to thank everybody when they do come out and listen to us and pay attention to the community. I'm happy to report that I had my lowest water bill ever. I've been in my house since 6.5, 7 years now. And I have to attribute that to the front-loading washer that we purchased recently, because that was the first bill after I got it. So we'll see what the next one brings. But that's by far the lowest one I've ever had. So, again, as always, we encourage very strongly to conserve water and help our water basin by conserving water. Thank you.
Representation, particularly at the hearing on the 28th, the people from the community who stood up and spoke and who, without hesitance or fear of a governmental entity that was in fact attempting to instill hesitance and fear, was truly an assistance to us in our efforts on behalf of the CSD. Those residents were well prepared. They were reasonable in their approach. They did not take any grief without standing up for their rights. It was truly, and I know Mr. Onstott said the same thing, truly an assistance to our effort. And we continue to find it a privilege to be working with this community because of the commitment of the residents, as well as, of course, the board. So I just want to say that there are difficult times certainly ahead, and we all want to see a resolution of this. But as we go forward, there are moments that have more meaning than others. And certainly the presence of the people of Los Osos on the 28th was one of those moments.
Thank you. That was well said. Very well said. Did you want to say anything, Mr. Blesky or Mrs. Vega? Okay. I just finished my comments quickly, and then we'll say goodnight. I just wanted to say the hearings continue. The cease and desist order hearings continue on May 11th and 12th. We're kind of wrapped around the Morro Bay meeting. I don't know if you know about the Morro Bay wastewater treatment plant that's undergoing an upgrade. One of our biggest concerns, kind of questions and curiosities, is they were given originally 15 years, then 9.5 years. Now it's down to 8 years to just upgrade their sewer plant. And we, the CSD, the old CSD board, when they were first elected, were given only 4 years to build a plant and go through the whole process from start to finish in four. That kind of difference in time schedules has bothered many of us greatly. And we encourage others, if that bothers them or if they want to know more about it, go on the websites. You can read everything you want about it on the Regional Water Board websites. So our meeting is wrapped around those meetings before and after on the 11th. And then on the 12th, so we will not be having a meeting here next week. We'll be there. So just wanted you to know that. The second comment I wanted to make is the new technology for wastewater treatment is unbelievable. And it's so phenomenal. And me being a biologist, I'm so into it. So forgive me if I explode a little bit here. But go to the State Water Board website. Look at some of the stuff there. They have new technology pages. They're studying it, too. They've done some incredible evaluations of on-site and off-site new technology. Their whole mission this year, their whole theme, was about sustainability. They adopted a goal about sustainability of projects. We and they are on the same page. We are totally on the same page about this, and I'm so thankful to our team that goes to the Regional Water Board to meet with them and discuss this, because I think the dialogue is going to be helpful. They're able to share ideas back and forth. It's very helpful. And I just wanted to say that. And the Piranha system, thank you to the Piranha technology that can digest the sludge and it turns into nitrogen in the air, not nitrates in the water pollutants, but it just gets digested by these bacteria. I mean, think about it. Over the years, that's how come we're not sitting on piles of waste everywhere, because there's bacteria that are working every day. You maximize them at their source, and you reduce everything. That's sustainable. That's a great concept, and it's so wonderful that the technology has advanced this much that we're going to be able to take advantage of this. It makes so much sense. It's unbelievable. And that's what I know our board is trying to do, is take advantage of new technology, sustainability, economics, and environmental reasons, and we're going to come up with a great project. So I just wanted to say that, and thanks. And please keep coming. Everybody's invited. I want to say this every time. If you're sitting at home, we need your help. A lot of people tonight were stewing about the time. It's, we're never going to get there. We're never going to get done. If you help us, if we all jump in, we will get there. We're going to do it. We just need everybody to pitch in, because we're just a few, and we all need to help if we can, because it's for all of us. So that's all I have. Good night.